following is a Red Shovel Network production. The Red Shovel Network consists of The Drew Mike Show, Child of the Duff's No Bullshit News, Emma Elric's Soul of Detroit, and No Filter Sports and shit. Enjoy the following Red Shovel Network production, please.
What's poppin'? The Drew and Mike Show, rolling in the DealsNAD.com studios. Yes?
Sorry. What was the production music used behind the intro there?
Out of Space, Billy Preston.
Oh, my God.
Walter's favorite.
Love that song.
Not to be confused with Space Race by Billy Preston.
Which one does Walter like the best?
He likes... It's so funky. You know what is really cool? And I did not know this until I got the Rolling Stones book about every Rolling Stones song.
Mm-hmm.
The beginning of Heartbreaker. Dun, 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 dun. That's Billy Preston.
Oh, is that Billy?
Yes, and it's his riff.
Wow.
Oh.
He just made him up and...
Oh. He was working with the Stones, as John Lennon said. Yeah, anything the Beatles did, the Stones did a year later. And we had Billy Preston in 1969. What do you know? He's with the Stones in 1973.
So he was the fifth Beatle, but was he the sixth Rolling Stone? Or
I'm not sure where he lands in the Stones exactly. Chuck Lavelle would probably be the, would that be the sixth or seventh Stone? Because they had Mick, Wyman, Keith, Brian Jones and Charlie Watts, so that's five. Then Mick Taylor came along.
Ron
Wood. So that's six. Ron Wood, seven. Billy Preston, eight?
Eight.
Or Daryl, the bass player, eight?
Only officially credited person on a Beatle recording besides John Paul, George, and Ringo. Listen to that motherfucker play those keyboards.
He can play.
Walter.
Mr. Billy Preston, ladies and gentlemen, I wish I was his booth announcer.
Then there's Lisa Fisher. The backup singer? She's been with him for like 30 years.
Rape, murder?
I think Billy's...
She's the one who sang rape, murder. It's just a shot away.
Well, she sings it live. It was... Oh, who's the great backup singer?
Who's that broad?
Damn it, I know we've talked about this too. She was awakened in the middle of the night. She was pregnant. Yeah. And they're like, you want to come down and sing from back in? I'm pregnant. I'm asleep. And somebody.
We got to get you and that monster that's in your gut down to Mexico ASAP.
Yeah.
So anyway, she did go down there and sing. If I only remembered her name, that'd be nice. I'm sure you'll look it up quickly.
Uh-huh.
And I will mention that I am so pleased that Scott Kunith has gotten some calls in the last week. I think three or four people have called Scott about listing their house or...
Scott!
Figuring out what it's worth, and things seem to finally be paying off. And he's looking for more. It's springtime. It's busy, busy time for realtors. And Scott is the rising star of Coldwell Banker Weir Manual, a very reputable company, by the way. You can call him if you need help in figuring out what your home is worth or finding you a new home. Or if you want to refer somebody to Scott, 248-797-7746. Brings you the best of two. S. Kunath, S-K-U-N-N-A-T-H at C-B-W-M. com, and he can text. Not afraid. If you just want to text him, call me. That's cool, too. You text him drops. He talks and drops.
Mary Clayton.
Mary Clayton, that's right. Damn it. Who's the girl on the Zeppelin song?
Oh,
Sandy Dennis. Sandy Dennis.
Sandy Dennis with the one. Wait, no, never mind.
The Battle of Evermore, maybe?
Oh. Oh, yeah. Cool.
I know it's Sandy Dennis. I know that's right.
Look for Sandy Dennis.
248-797-7746. Scott Kunath.
Who's that broad?
And Facebook's brought to you by Mesa. And Mesa has got the patio open now. Ooh. Things are rocking. Actually, things are really rocking at Mesa. I noticed they're...
Nacho, man.
They had a great Cinco de Mayo and the patio's open. It's one of the largest and best patios in the city with both outdoor and indoor seating.
Oh!
One of the largest and best patios? Is that... How many patios are... I know. I'm really fussing over this copy. Mesa's the spot to kick back on warm summer days. Enjoy some Mexican food or some Mexican fusion delicacies. Handcrafted cocktails, fresh-squeezed margaritas. If you like Mexican food and you like tequila, 150 tequilas at Mesa. Plus, the savory selections are made fresh every morning. Signature sauces, salsa, guacamole, to their homemade and award-winning 8-hour stewed brisket. Yeah, the brisket is great. I'm getting hungry. I love their salsa. And you know what? We didn't have it right.
Balls.
God damn it.
Answer it.
What could that be?
It's probably...
Answer it.
Should we start keeping track of these events?
It's out of my hands, literally.
It would have rung if it was in your hand.
No, I wouldn't have. It's a critter control guy is over at my house trying to get over, trying to get whatever lives under the deck out.
Ooh. What, Joey couldn't pull that off? I thought, didn't he make things happen last time?
Oh, yeah, he got ground. This time we thought it was raccoons.
Ugh.
So your house is under complete attack. It's amazing.
I know. You know what? You know,
the animal world now.
The animal world is joined forces. Okay.
Oh, they're calling back. Oh, this one's from California.
Oh,
and Brandon just declined it.
Everybody
could have been your big break from California, and Brandon shut it down.
God damn it.
It's a casting call.
Your career is on fire. Look at all these people calling.
But it'll never happen because Brandon hit end call so fast. No.
Who would be calling from California?
Those are usually spoof calls.
Oh, really?
I don't know. Maybe it's my boyfriend in California.
It was your big break.
Who knows?
Never going to happen now. Sorry.
Get the Drew and Mike discount.
I'll hang it up.
10% off at Mesa if you mention the Drew and Mike Show. Now, a little housekeeping. Frank Audia, who went to Red Wings fantasy camp many years ago, one in the year.
Yeah.
He got me these Cubs shorts.
Wow, those are cool.
No, I'm so excited, my God. And a really nice letter, too. Congrats on the podcast.
Do you think anybody wants a roundhouse kick to the face while I'm wearing these bad boys?
He was in Philly visiting his... Wait, Frank has a daughter that's left home?
Whoa.
That's not possible. I remember when she was born. There's a sporting goods store in Philly called Mitchell...
Oh, Mitchell and Ness?
Mitchell and Ness.
A very famous one.
Neat place. They make throwback gear. Says Maz has probably heard of them. Thought about you when I saw the Cub stuff. Oh, man. Thank you, Frank.
I think I'm going to need to change my pants.
It is so cool. Oh, if they're too big. No, they're fine. And then also the mail. Well, there's a lot of mail this week.
Pretty please, drop your pants.
Tom Mazaway got something. Where's the camera? Maybe I can show the camera.
It's up there. Trudy's phone. Oh. Just hold it up. Someone will find it.
Yeah.
Tom is apparently working for WJR now. It says Tom Mazaway at WJR. And they sent me this romance novel.
I know.
I'm not sure this is something that would really
You don't think that fits our audience? Beverly Jenkins.
You can get the author?
Rebel.
Yeah, WJR Radio.
Yeah, based out of Ferndale, right?
Is he moonlighting?
I think we should make him read that whole book and give us a book report.
I bet you he would get one of his daughters to read it. He would pawn it off.
A lot of sex in that, isn't there? That looks like one of those sex novels.
That's true. Yeah, that might make him nervous. He would have to.
I love that.
Be over her shoulder when she read it.
I love that he's still using JR for his press passes.
Yeah.
He got in big trouble.
No, I think isn't he in the JR Hall of Fame? Isn't he grandfathered with press passes or something?
He's forever their mascot.
Is that possible?
Grandfathered in with press passes. Yeah, teams usually do that.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of. In fact, most people, you don't even realize what call letters are on because they're always getting press passes for some old station they were on. It's weird.
My dad still gets stuff.
It's kind of like press passes are like going in the Hall of Fame. You use the call letters that you love the most.
Well,
I guess.
Well, then my dad's in it, the Major League Baseball All-Star Hall of Fame for press passes.
Is he going this year?
I don't know. Where's it at? It depends where it's at.
Good for you and your father.
Thank you. I'm sure he will. He wants
WRIF press pass has gotten him into so many All-Star games.
But it's been worth it for Major League Baseball. Look at the coverage that he provides.
I agree. I think it's been wonderful.
It's phenomenal.
Got the Steve Trout interview.
It's in Cleveland.
Steve Trout.
Oh, he's going. Of course he's going. And speaking of Cleveland, that reminds me of the third piece of mail. Stacy brought me Rock This Town, Backstage in Cleveland, Stories You Never Heard and Swag You Never Saw.
Ooh.
By Fran. I know, Trudy, I'm waiting for a string of
Chapter
with you.
Chapter 2.
By Fran Belkin.
Belkin Productions. Yeah.
They grew up in Cleveland. They started booking, they were doing swag.
Uh-huh.
Backstage swag for bands relating to the shows they promoted.
Huh.
And she bumped into a bunch of boxes and was looking at all the t-shirts going, oh, my God, these are t-shirts nobody had but the bands, of course.
Oh, my God, I want those.
And so I know. That's true. I didn't even think about that. She should sell this stuff for charity.
Don't write me a book, kid.
So she wrote this book about how they started booking. They did it was the new Christie Minstrels was the first show they did. And they lost $400.
Charming.
And they did a couple more that didn't go so well. Then they did a jazz show with Miles Davis and some other people, and it blew up. It did really well.
People will buy T-shirts. I just wouldn't have
No. They promoted the show, Belkin Productions. But they were... I think she was more involved in the T-shirts.
Oh, I see.
But her husband is... is it Jules Belkin?
Yes.
Yeah, and Mike is his brother. So this is kind of a family affair. So she has a great view of all this stuff. And in fact, I'll just give one little tease.
Cool. Consider me Miles Davis.
They promoted stuff at the Rubber Bowl, the Agora. I mean, all the great Cleveland venues. Yeah.
The Odeon?
Probably. The World Series of Rock and Roll.
Music Hall.
They did one show at the racetrack, and they were banned from doing shows after that.
I was at a couple of the World Series of Rock and Roll.
I was at one.
That was troublesome.
I know those
were, oh, my God.
Those were quite something.
Wow.
And the jazz show, the first successful show they did, she said she was a huge Miles Davis fan. And Miles Davis is coming off stage smiling, she thought, at her. And she was really excited because, you know, they promoted the show. It was a huge success. And here's Miles Davis coming off stage to tell her what a great job they did. Mm. And Miles Davis says, "You want to fuck?"
did she?
No, she was married to Jules Belkin.
He didn't ask her to marry him.
She opted to turn red.
You like what you see, huh?
And she's cute. I see some pictures of her. They're not still doing this. I think it sold out to Live Nation eventually somehow. Yeah. But wow, I mean, for you, I figured you would love looking through, because I just brushed through 20 pages. This is going to be your Tom Mazzaway show, because you're gone now.
I have tons of tickets that were purchased with Belkin Productions on them. So,
well, she has a lot of pictures of tickets, swag, all kinds of stuff, artists and little stories, and I really was enjoying it. It's, you know, I was trying to think of who in Detroit would be the person, like Fran Belkin or Jules Belkin.
Oh, who would that be?
Mr. Brass Ring. Wasn't Brass Ring the big?
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
production company.
Brass Ring
back
Productions.
Then?
In Boston, it was always Don Law.
Mm, yeah,
did all those shows. Is Don Law still doing that?
I have no idea.
Live Nation just taking over the whole thing. I really don't even know.
Yeah, Live Nation and AEG.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, this is unusual, but someone just messaged me that Rick Springfield wants to talk. And
did we have Rick on once before?
Is that the call from California?
No.
That's the one that's coming in right now.
Whoa. Wait, who's that?
Rick Springfield. He's going to be at Soundboard May 23rd.
Are we talking to Rick right now?
I guess.
I'm sorry. I didn't say anything, but it just came through.
Today? Like right now?
Yeah.
Really? Wow,
I believe he's on the phone now.
A little less notice than we normally get.
I know. Well,
you really are
literally
turning
just
into Tom.
Contacted me. I contacted him months ago, and now they're just like, "Hey, I'm the publicist. Can you talk to him tomorrow?" I said, "No, we're not on." And she goes, "Well, how about right now?
Where's the show?"
It's at Soundboard.
Soundboard, okay.
And it's
at
the
Motor City?
23rd. Yeah, Motor City. And he's literally going to have to tell us everything he's been up to, because I don't have the...
I should bring him up on my phone immediately.
Publicity.
We're going to throw you another. He just did that orchestra.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just was reading about Rick Springfield.
So, well, thank God.
I know.
God,
well,
you were.
Not a great deal.
This will be interesting. This will be fun.
Oh, fly by the seat of your pants. Yeah. You can tell him no.
No.
We would never turn down Rick Springfield.
He's awesome.
He's got long hair
he's
now.
He's a good interview, too.
Yeah.
Rick is...
sort of grunge.
Rick is cool, you know. It's so funny, too, because, you know, watching General Hospital.
I know.
And then this guy's putting out hit records. It was just bizarre.
And he's deep.
Yeah. He said he's really held up pretty well, honestly.
Yeah.
He was just in... he was in A True Detective, too.
Well...
Trying to place it.
Who was he?
I don't know, but I remember when it happened, we talked about it. Brandon and I did.
Brandon's doing
a pre-interview.
Oh, boy.
Wow, Brandon's doing a long pre-interview. This is quite a screening process. He's vetting Rick Springfield?
Yeah. Well, what if it's a fake Rick Springfield? I mean, you couldn't...
Do you want to start doing a commercial just in case?
Yeah, I'll do that.
Vetting continues. I got to run upstairs for 1 second.
Zot Ford and Holly is conducting a unique VIP Key 4 Key event. During the event, you can exchange your current vehicle for a brand new 2019 Ford without spending a dime out of your pocket. Also, their goal is to match or lower your monthly payment. Zot Ford's managers have been authorized to assist you in terminating the remainder of your loan or lease, no matter what you owe. This event will feature a straight VIP Key 4 Key exchange. You give Zot Ford the keys to your current vehicle, and they will give you the keys to a brand new 2019 Ford. No hassles, no gimmick, no shenanigans. Just go see Maz or Maz's personal sales manager, Gary, or any of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County and tell them Drew and Mike sent you.
Okay, you go one more. Rick's not ready yet.
Dr. Roche featuring the Mother's Day Makeover. Mommy Makeover is basically special prices on all of these procedures, HD lipo, body light, Mommy. Brazilian butt lifts, breast lifts, Diva Botox, eyelid lifts, stretch marks, Morpheus 8, anything that will make your mom look sweet ass better is on special for Mother's Day because Dr. Roche appreciates mothers. And they can call for a consultation. You could also get a gift card if you sort of want to let her decide for herself what she wants. 248-338-1110 to call. And droche.com to look at what they've got available. And you can get a tutorial on what that particular product is like and the whole shot.
248-338-1110 for Dr. Roche and Rick Springfield. On May the 23rd, we'll be right here at the Motor City Soundboard. And he's on the phone with us now. You there, Rick?
Hey, Rick.
Hey, how are you?
Hello, good.
The music's really loud.
That's
well,
you.
Of course it is.
That's your fault.
Down.
You have to be louder.
Rick, by the way, you must have been introduced to Jesse's Girl a bazillion times. What's the song of yours that you go, you know, I wish they'd played this when I came on?
Oh, how about the Voodoo House from our new record, or even one from Orchestrating My Life, a new record.
Oh, wait.
That's what this one's from, is
new
the
stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, jeez.
Oh, it's the one with the orchestra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we copied it so well, I can't tell it.
Did you conduct the orchestra? Like with the baton and everything?
The orchestra. No, I didn't conduct the orchestra. The great charts, though, it's pretty cool. And there's a new song I wrote. My mom died 2 years ago, so I wrote a song for her called Irreplaceable. But that's a new song on it, as well as having a bunch of the old hits. But they sound so much better now. It's great. Yeah. I'm very happy about it.
Well, you know, we were just talking amongst ourselves and talking about your acting and all that. And then suddenly it hit me, you were in Californication. Was that 10 years ago? Yeah, and that was a pretty squirrely character, wasn't it?
It was a very squirrely character, yeah. I had friends ask me, are they saying, I didn't know you did blow. No, it's acting.
Nice acting.
Well, I'm sure everybody brings up General Hospital all the time, but yeah, I remember that you were there, because it's funny when I see you, Rick, because I remember you from way back in General Hospital, and I think, you know, I hope Rick Springfield isn't still great-looking, because the guy just has everything, plays guitars, and there you are, looking extremely good at an advanced age.
A really advanced age. Although, I just got back from Rome, and that's is really old there, so I'm not as old as some of those buildings. So.
Well, I'm just going to freeze you as the True Detective, that look from True Detective, which a lot of people didn't even know that was you until after the fact, because you were so hideous in the show.
And I also I played a pretty creepy guy on American Horror Story.
Too, oh, really?
Last year, yeah. Yeah. I played some creepy characters. It's great. And I played, I was Lucifer and Supernatural for a bunch of episodes.
Wow.
Yeah, nice. I like the creepy guys.
You know,
easy for me to.
I kind of want to ask, you know, a guy that's known for being so good looking, you know, do you like playing creepy characters? But then if I ask you that and you agree or you actually answer it, then it says that, yeah, I think I'm great looking too, so.
Yeah, I think I'm great looking, right. No, I don't get it. I see myself all the time and I don't agree with you.
Well, I mean, that happens to all of us.
See, that makes him more humble. That makes more women want Rick Springfield. And they probably still cheer wildly for you at shows. Because I see you touring round and round, and it seems like you've been very busy.
Yeah. We're playing a lot. I've got an incredible band. It's the best band I've ever played with. They're monsters. And we're doing a lot of stuff. I'm doing a benefit, actually. I've been San Francisco soon with Sammy Hagar. We hooked up again, and he's got a thing that he does every year, so I'm going to do that too. But we got the orchestra show.
Cool.
With, like 40, 50 pieces solo show that's kind of a storyteller show and a lot of humor and very laid back, and then the band show that like pedals the metal to it. There's three different shows with touring, so it makes it really interesting for me.
Playing with Sammy, is that Sammy or The Circle, his band, with Michael Anthony?
No,
and
it's him. It's him. The band's there. They come in, but it's kind of an acoustic thing. It's a benefit for a charity that he does, and it's great.
Everybody in rock and roll seems like they have to have more than one job these days. I mean, well, everybody seems like they have to have more than one job, rock and roll included.
I'm a writer. I write. I'm working on my third novel now. And, you know, and acting and playing the fool, generally.
Well, I always thought that if you had, and you had hit records and you had a giant hit, you wrote Jesse's Girl, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I wrote all of them.
Well, the point was, I always thought that guys that had a big giant hit like that and had some other hits that you could live off a song like that, but that's so not true now because the way it, you know, with the streams and whatnot, is that true or do you think people exaggerate about that? Because I hear you say, "Oh my God, I lost all my publishing."
Yeah, I'm not that guy. I'm not the guy that goes, okay, I'm going to retire now because all I do would be to get a band together and go on the road. So I think you only retire from jobs that you're not happy in. And I love what I do. And so, I was fortunate enough to be in an era where you did get paid for your music, which, you know, I think is shouldn't have changed, but it has, and that's just the new paradigm. And we all have to get used to it. That's why a lot of bands tour right now, just because there's not much money coming in from recording. But, you know, just a song like Just a Girl gets quite a bit of money because it's in movies and TV and has kind of gone on, had a longer life than, a lot of hits. So I'm fortunate for that.
Hot Tub Time Machine.
But,
oh, yeah.
Very grateful for that, yeah.
Grateful. I'm grateful for Hot Tub Time Machine, too, but for different reasons.
Oh, you're grateful for that movie. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
I have very shallow movie taste, though, so.
It's
a great
movie.
It is a great movie.
So is Multiplicity, according to you.
I don't know if I've...
It's Michael Keaton dividing about, how many people was he? Six people?
Yeah. Yes, he was six different guys. And each clone became dumber.
I think I missed that one.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I did too.
Kind of highbrow tastes then, right, Rick?
I missed it too. Actually, know what? I did see it. It wasn't bad.
You watched on my recommendation.
Take me back, Rick. You were 14. You saw the Beatles. You actually saw the Beatles live. What was that like?
It was my life-changing. It was, I was already a fan, but, you know, but going and seeing them walk on stage, it was like, I don't know, 30 feet from the stage, and it was like aliens had landed. It was pretty incredible. I still have a very, very firm image of that in my head, really firm. It was just monstrous.
I have to know what venue it was. I'm a huge Beatles fan. Is this the 64, 65, or 66 tour? Or were you on the roof at Abbey Road?
It was in Australia.
Yeah. No, the 64, and they actually weren't that big in America yet, because I was in Australia and we got all English bands. You know, we got the Yardbirds with Jimmy Page, and we got the Stones. I saw the Stones three different times, 65, 66. So all the English bands came to Australia because they knew they had a market.
Wow.
And the Beatles were one of the, they got nabbed early. Some guy from Australia saw them and said, "These guys are getting big in Australia." So I booked them early. And so they were kind of stuck coming over to Australia while they were.
So that was before Ed Sullivan?
I think it may have been. I'm not exactly sure. You can look it up online. I still have my program from that show, too.
Oh, cool.
You could always sell if you had money.
Yeah.
Let's stop worrying about Rick's money.
No, what are we talking about?
I think he's doing okay. And if you're really worried, you can go May 23rd at the Soundboard at Motor City Casino.
it's like a GoFundMe.
Yeah.
Rick, this is a weird question, but why don't you have an accent?
Yeah. Good question.
I do, mate. You just got to listen to it. It comes out every now and then, but I've got to drink a few beers, and then it comes flying out. I changed it because I started acting in 75, and when I started acting, you know, no one had ever heard of Australia in 1975. It was before Shrimp on the Barbie and all that stuff. And yes. AC/DC. So yes. I was going to be competitive with the American actors. So I picked the accent up. I went to a voice coach and learned it.
Really?
Australian. My Australian audience isn't too thrilled about it.
Do you ever play an Australian so you can just use your first accent?
I've played English.
Okay.
Yeah, because I lived in England when I was a kid, so I have that accent too. But I think being a musician trained by ear, that helped me pick up accents. I'm not half as good as Meryl Streep.
I would just think a lot of people don't even know that you're Australian, and you know you got your citizenship.
Yeah, I think so. I think people forget.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, it's funny. I think of Rick as being a California guy, just probably because of General Hospital. Of course I knew that and I've heard that. And, you know, you've been doing this for so long. Did you have a band in 72 that had a hit in the U.S., Speak to the Sky?
No, that was my first solo single, actually. I came over here from Australia in 72 and, Speak to the Sky was a song I'd had a hit with in Australia, and that got me a record deal here with Capitol. And we went to London and re-recorded it and did a whole album, and that was the first and only single of the 70s.
Oh, okay, because, I didn't realize you recorded that early, and, you know, I assume, and I probably heard you say this, and that's why I'm going to think this, that you love music and acting was a vehicle to sort of keep you going till the music could bust, or was the music secondary? Where was that?
No, I was always a musician. I was a musician in Australia. I was in a successful band over there called Zoot, but actually you can YouTube Zoot and Eleanor Rigby. You'll hear a heavy metal version of Eleanor Rigby that I arranged for the band. Wow. It was actually our biggest hit over there. And we broke up, and I'd written a bunch of songs that, because we were kind of, I was pushing the band in a guitar-oriented direction. I wanted them to be heavier, and so there was a bunch of softer songs that they weren't recording, and I took those with my first album. So my first album was like all ballads, pretty much.
Huh. What happened to the Zoot guys, by the way, when you left?
Yeah, who else was in Zoot?
They did okay. The bass player formed... was one of the co-founders of Little River Band.
Oh,
hey. Wow!
The singer became a big solo star in Australia, and the drummer was in another band, Aussie band called the Ferrets, that had a big hit over in Australia too. So,
but none of them are Rick Springfield.
No,
they all did well. They all did well. So, and we used to get slammed. People would say we weren't that good of musicians and that kind of crap. And, so we kind of proved them wrong.
Should we worry about their money, too?
No, I wouldn't.
They're okay.
Good.
Well, I was thinking that Zoot at some point would reunite and play Big Day Out or something, since all of you guys are so well-known. Isn't that the big event in Australia, Big Day Out?
Big Day Out, I don't know. It's been a while since I've been there. But
are you really from Australia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are from California.
Yeah. All right. I was born in Van Nuys. I actually have a fan get-together every year or every other year. And we used to do it on a ship. And I actually reformed the band 40 years later. And we played a show that we recorded and released in Australia. You can actually get it on my website. But it was great. It was incredible. We had like 1.5 rehearsals and did like 1.5-hour show. And then 3 months later, the singer, who was a beautiful man, was diagnosed with cancer and died about a year later.
So oh, boy.
That was the last performance of Zoot.
I kind of want to hear this hard version of Eleanor Rigby. Is it?
Yeah.
Do we have it, Mark?
Look it up.
Here we go.
Look it up, dude.
Oh, wow.
That's a groovy video, too.
Hey.
Wow, that's heavy.
Really good. I like that on the title it says, better than the Beatles version.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but it was a big difference. I was like I said, I was trying to push him in a heavy direction, and the radio picked it up.
It does rock.
They made it a hit. That's
it rocks cool. harder than the Beatles. Let me hear the vocal, Mark. Or Brandon.
Whoa. Holy crap.
That rocks. That is a ballsy cover.
Yeah.
First of all, I would think that song would be of really, I mean, that song came out of left field with the Beatles when it came out, but to turn it heavy, that's really, that's quite something.
On the Sirius Beatles channel, for sure.
Amen.
They played it a couple of times on the covers, yeah.
Yeah, they do. Huh. They do a lot of covers. I have not heard it on the Beatles channel, but they do. They seem to play almost everything. I heard Styx. I think was it Styx doing "I Am the Walrus" or something? I mean, it was really crazy. It wasn't as bad as that song.
I've heard a couple of great versions. Yeah, they have played this on there because I was talking to Mark Goodman about it. But yeah, they played it on everything.
Oh, Mark Goodman.
Hey, Rick. Since you know everyone, do you happen to know the guys in AC/DC?
Yeah, they're from Australia. You should know
them.
Australia,
so everybody knows everybody, right?
No, everybody knows everybody.
You know Crocodile Dundee?
Shut up.
I do.
I was asking a question.
The Hoodoo Gurus?
I just wanted to get to the fact that they're still touring after all these years, and it just seems like that.
For AC/DC?
Yeah. I mean, it continues.
I didn't know the other guys. I knew Bon Scott. He was an awesome guy, and he was in a band. If you look up Valentine's, also on YouTube, you'll see a young Bon Scott as the second singer in the Valentine's. And it was a Valentine's and Zoot, and we were kind of competing bands with each other because we all initially wore fluffy, romantic kind of clothes. And Bon was one of those guys. And then, 10 years later, we suddenly hear this voice screaming out of the radio going, "That's Bon Scott?"
Yeah.
And he's one of my favorites of all time rock singers. Probably top of the list, I would even say. But he was a lovely guy, too. Really beautiful, beautiful guy.
What's Hugh Jackman like?
he's American, isn't he?
No, he's Australian, I believe.
He has an American accent, he must be American.
I think he's from Van Nuys, too. You guys grew up in the same neighborhood.
Van Nuys, too. Yeah, we grew up together.
I'm so embarrassed. I actually wanted to ask about NXS because I heard about them earlier.
Well, ask him. He might know.
Okay. Do you know Michael? Did you know Michael Hutchins?
I did not.
Easy out.
At a party.
Is there anything on YouTube you want us to look at besides
the Zoots?
I know. What else is on Rick Springfield's YouTube playlist?
And Valentine?
Yeah. Not that.
This is what happens when you get us kind of unprepared because this was.
No, we're totally
what?
Prepared.
No, I like this interview, and I think Rick's having a great time too.
I'm having it. Yeah, dude. I've never been asked some of these questions. probably for good reason, but
because they're terrible.
I know, we're going somewhere.
Well, since you're being frank, what is it that people ask that you go, "Oh God, do I have to answer this again?"
From me?
Yeah.
What can people expect at the show tonight?
Oh, I know. That's so trite.
It's easy.
Yeah, that's somebody just...
I know.
Just...
Did you just go, music?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, bust a song. Do the hit.
What's the encore?
We don't have
an encore.
Oh, yeah. Don't you?
Well, that's a good question, then.
Oh, okay.
That's a very good question.
Hey, I don't want to ask that because now I'm going to embarrass myself. I was just going to ask if you were playing any covers because I swear.
No, I don't know Michael Hutchins. I didn't know Michael Hutchins. Move on.
All right. May 23rd at the Soundboard at Motor City for Rick Springfield. And
the fans expect?
Yeah, what can they expect? What can they expect? It's not a GoFundMe. That was all in fun. And Rick on short notice. Rick, it's so nice to talk to you, man. I hope we get you next time through.
You too.
All right. Have a great show and have a great great day.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Thank you
it.
So much.
Thanks, Rick.
Bye, Rick.
All
Bye.
Right.
Oh, what a nice guy.
That was cool.
Yeah.
We should prepare for a lesson. We should prepare less for interviews.
Like Larry King.
Yeah,
he sometimes does do covers, by the way.
He does?
On this tour, he's
I like this. I think this is a cool version.
Oh, I do too.
Who would have thunk it would be a hit in Australia?
In the video, he pointed us to the Valentines. I'd never seen this before. I've never seen Bon Scott like this.
Oh, my God.
I want to hear this. Wearing a monkey suit.
What?
That's not Bon. I'll show you. He's right here.
Wait, there's two guys without a guitar.
Bon's the hey guy.
He's
there. He is. I see him.
Oh my God.
Build me up, Buttercup.
I'm crushed, man. Bon Scott.
He's not even
dancing?
Singing. What is he doing?
I don't know.
Well, he's on one of these shows where they just lip sync, and he's
not playing anything.
Quote unquote background singer.
That's dumb.
Is there anything else where he actually sings? This is. I mean, honestly, his career just got ruined. This gets out.
Wow.
That's amazing. Wow, he's.
That's bizarro.
Underutilized for sure.
Yeah.
Doing the hey part.
You know, it's interesting though. You know, it's black and white. It's a long time ago. Is that Bon?
No, he's not the lead singer. He's
that's
the
Vince Love Groove.
Then what? No one's ever heard of him. Hold a guitar, stand in front of an organ or something.
I think he is holding a guitar in this one. No, he's not.
You know.
Dumb band.
Wow.
Knick-knack paddywhack? What?
Wait, Cracker Jack, right? Knick-knack paddywhack? Jack Cracker Jack?
Did Australia have no...
Wait, these guys should sue Cracker Jack. Okay, I've had enough of this band.
There's Bon. Look at him. He's just the
he looks
backup
bored.
Singer.
Doesn't he look bored?
Wow.
Okay.
Yikes.
That's sad.
Oh. Yeah. You know, this brings me back to the Fran Belkin book I was talking about that you were looking at, Trudy. Yeah. What's the title of the book? Oh, Rock is
Rock
the Town.
This Town.
Rock This Town. Inside Out. Because Fran is talking in the book about how when Belkin Productions started in Cleveland in the mid-60s that so many parents were saying, my kid went off to college, this clean-cut kid, and he came back with long hair and bell bottoms and, you know, a Fu Manchu mustache or something. And it is so strange how fast everything changed. I mean, it would be like, I mean, if you imagine, you know, Leave It to Beaver people, and then they go to college and they come back like all tatted up. And I mean,
I know
now there's nothing shocks anyone now. But no. Then everyone looked like they were going into the army. I mean, honestly, everyone did. And a lot of people did. But. It was weird how in the mid-60s and the late-60s, how many people did go to college and they came back, like, literally at Christmas and be like, oh, my God, look at my brother. Whoa, what happened? And, you know, they're smoking dope and protesting the war. And it's just, you know, youth culture was not born.
Right. I know.
It wasn't born.
It's really profound.
It's so strange.
Yeah. I've been to a few of these shows in here that I see. The Aerosmith one.
Oh.
Steven Tyler. And I think Faces? I think it was
cool.
Faces. Yeah, it was that one.
Faces. Aerosmith band.
Faces used to play Detroit a lot. They played that, the festival we were talking about, Goose Lake Festival.
Yeah.
And Cleveland was, you know, that was what was fun about reading the book. And we're going to talk to Fran eventually, probably next week, is that Cleveland was a huge rock and roll city in America. Everyone played there. And she talks about Bowie coming in 73. They were trying to, or Jules and his brother Mike, the Belkin brothers, they were trying to bring in something besides Southern rock.
Yeah.
Because that was what, you know, it was just maybe a little too much of that. Something really interesting. And they booked Bowie.
Yeah.
And MMS played Bowie and interviewed Bowie, and the show did really well. And Bowie shows when he came around in 73, I think that was around Hunky Dory, which is a great Bowie album.
Yeah.
God, you know, it's some of those careers around that time were just so exceptional. Bowie, every album is so interesting. But he played Cleveland, and they had a 3,000-seat venue. He sold out. And meanwhile, he's going around the U.S., and they had some really sparsely attended shows.
Oh.
And Cleveland, meanwhile, was apeshit over him, and WMMS was playing him, Kid Leo. And I mean, that's a classic set of call letters. And so they booked him to come back and play. You know, she mentions the venue. I can't remember what it was, but it was a 10,000-seat venue, and it sold out.
Wow.
He couldn't sell at small venues in other cities, but Cleveland was just crazed for David Bowie. And Detroit had artists like that, too, like Kiss and...
Well, the one thing I remember, too, is that Rush was huge because of Cleveland. Cleveland seemed like it broke Rush.
MMS, I think, broke a lot of bands.
Time.
Because MMS was a leader and was considered cool. And Riff was considered cool, too, for a time. I mean, Riff or MMS.
Everybody in Cleveland, no, I know you got Obama fall.
But I think Cleveland, I think MMS had more... maybe national cachet or rock media cachet.
Yeah,
kind of like Cream
sure.
Magazine probably had more cachet than Rolling Stone in a way.
It was
a cooler magazine.
Oh, yeah.
Rolling Stone turned out... the more I learn about Rolling Stone, the more unnerved I am at how political it was.
Yeah.
That they didn't like certain people. So hey, you hate this band, you review them. And, you know, Led Zeppelin. They trashed Zeppelin. Rolling Stone was so off on certain stuff, whereas I think Cream embraced punk and new wave. So
that 50th anniversary documentary too of Led Zeppelin is coming out soon. They said it's in post production now, so they've put all the interviews together and they took archives of.
Where's it going to be? Who's doing it?
I don't know who the production company is, and I don't know where it's
going to
be featured. There was very little information about it, just that they had done it and it was finished.
That's weird. Why are they announcing
it? Mark, you'll find it.
Yeah. You want me to?
Sure.
Is this story a joke, Mark?
No.
It's not?
No. Apparently, the Ivy League seniors, as they're graduating, like to get it on.
Yeah, it's. I'm waiting for some Me Too segment of the story.
It's all consensual. So
it's okay. All right. Well, we'll get to that in a minute.
It's a pretty good story.
They
do it in the nerdiest way too.
I started to read it. While we're talking about music, though, I did want to mention that Tom Petty, his daughter Adria Petty, put out a song called For Real. It's on the Rolling Stone magazine website. After I trash Rolling Stone, here we go. Go to rollingstone.com. And it's an unreleased track, and it's pretty cool. It's very Tom Petty, and I thought she did a fantastic job. She's made videos for other artists.
Is she the one that's fighting over
the
world?
Yes, she's fighting her stepmother.
Oh, brother, look what we've become.
But watch the video for this. It seems to reference a lot of the...
I got to pull up the video.
The mileposts.
You want to pull it up, Brandon?
Yeah, Brandon can play it. Then we could all see it.
I know. I'm private over here. I don't want anyone to see my screen. I really don't want you to see my screen. Earlier, I closed a window, and because there was a story I was telling Drew about, and I was watching the porn. Somebody made a porn in a Tesla. So I was watching that porn and then went on to other things, and I closed the window, and the most graphic pop-up was right there in front of me.
Oh.
I was startled. I made Brandon come look at it.
Yikes.
And then he said he couldn't look at it anymore. He was turning them on.
Brother, could we be so dumb?
That's not what I said.
Yeah, well, kind of.
Set us up like dominoes.
Sounds like there's a lot of Petty archives, by the way, a lot of stuff that wasn't released.
Would you say that to Tom Petty?
I'm not sure I believe that, but we'll see. This song is very Tom Petty. Very authentic.
You wouldn't say that to Tom Petty, would you?
Never did it for no CEO. But I did it for real.
Yeah!
Would have done it for free.
Really cool clip, though, from over the years.
Yeah. The video is a mishmash of just everything, his whole career. It's great.
Yeah.
It's like a coffee table, but come to life.
And there's a little clip with Dylan and...
the Wilburys. Oh, there he is falling off the stage. That was cool.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Did he get the Wilburys in there? Because I was looking for him. I was kind of pissed.
Might have done it for my sanity. Maybe done it for my vanity.
I, I can't believe they're fighting over.
I know.
It's just so stupid.
That happened to John Singleton, the director that died.
Already. I know. How embarrassing.
Like, he wasn't even really dead yet. They're fighting over the will because he left it all to the oldest daughter, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's pretty shitty. That sucks.
So there's a lot of money. You find that that happens, and I guess he had $4 or $5 million.
What a sign of success, though, to have people fight over your will.
It's true. there were a few other music notes. You know, on Tom Petty, Adria Petty, his daughter, she talks about the video in the and the song in the Rolling Stone article, and she mentions that, yes, she is still upset that he had so many drugs in his system when he died, and especially fentanyl. And she says that she doesn't really think he was addicted to drugs when he died. I don't know about that. I'm not sure people just toy around with fentanyl.
No.
Didn't he have a cracked, like, pelvic bone or
yes,
something?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
He did.
So that had to be managed by pain medicine.
Well, he was
There's
addicted.
No way he could have done all those shows without anything
well,
like
Well, he did
that.
Heroin for a long time. Then he hurts himself and probably gets back on the pain meds and
went right
back to what he was doing.
Obviously, what should have happened is he should have gotten the hip dealt with before
and
he went out and went on pain medication.
To cope with it.
Yeah. And
you just
fell into those old habits.
You just don't take fentanyl.
No. No, and there was a lot, he had quite a few things in his system. I think what's hard to accept about Tom Petty's death is that he was a really smart guy, a brilliant guy, and he'd had this problem before. And to think that at 66 it would get him again seems so, it was just kind of, I just feel like, Tom, no, really?
Yeah.
So that was sucked. And Prince, too, for that matter. Although Prince, it sounded like Prince never really cleaned up.
No, he had fentanyl too.
Prince.
I know.
And all of that was pain management as well, because he used to jump off stage and all the dancing that he did and stuff like that. And
it starts there basketball. So
like
often.
Basketball.
Well, probably.
By the way, speaking of rock stars and their daughters, today is the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition, and Rainn Michaels is in that.
She's very hot. Tyra Banks' picture on the cover is amazing.
Is it?
Yeah.
It really is.
How old is that chick?
45. Do they get credit for picking 45? The hottest 45-year-old because they're picking a 45-year-old? Like, hey, look how progressive we are.
45.
We have a 45-year-old. She happens to be the hottest 45-year-old.
She looks really good. You know what?
Do you know who else is on the cover, too?
Yeah.
I didn't know who they were.
Rob Gronkowski's piece.
Right.
She was gorgeous.
I wasn't as excited about her as I was about Tyra Banks.
Really?
I know, it's really strange.
I don't know. And then the other one is a female soccer player.
I don't know.
I won't say who this is, but someone said that. She doesn't have any boobs.
Boring.
Well, she
they may or may not be in this room.
She looked a little too muscular for me.
She's very pretty, though. Alex Morgan. I think she's pretty. She's not, you know.
I can't see putting her in Sports Illustrated.
Well, no, I would agree with that. But if they're going to pick a soccer player, they pick the right one.
Oh, I wouldn't pick a soccer
player
anyway. Yeah, nobody knows who she is.
Hey, look at that. She's pretty, man.
You know what really sucks?
Way better than Hope
about
Solo.
The Tyra Banks cover is she looks so good. I immediately said, okay, they must have done something in the picture. She can't really look like that because no one. You know, it's like these selfies. You know. I'm not really that deep into this stuff, but it sounds to me like nobody just puts out a raw picture if they're an Instagram pro or whatever. They have all these filters.
Someone asked me.
How dumb is that,
by
the way?
There's that picture with ML, Sean, and myself, you know, with the sexy hats.
Uh-huh.
Was, hey, what filter did you use? I said, huh? I have filters? I'm not on Instagram. Like, no, you got filters on your phone. I'm like, I do? I have no idea.
Yeah, I guess there is stuff in there.
It was a great lighting, though.
Because you're not a girl.
I guess.
We know all about
awesome.
That.
Look over there. You can take a selfie in a hospital bed to get social media attention.
So,
don't really want to get into it, but I'm fine.
Just a couple more music
notes. By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
Courtney Love's interview, which Brandon had in his prep yesterday.
Thank you.
Where they're talking about a Kurt Cobain movie and Brad Pitt being cast, which is, you know, there's rumors of Brad Pitt playing Kirk, which seems ridiculous.
Yeah.
Brad Pitt?
Kind of does.
And she has, I don't know why she had to say this, but she Kurt had more presence and more beauty than Brad Pitt.
And
what?
And he had a.
And he was more. And he had a huge penis.
So,
well, compared to
well bleeping hung, she said.
Well, that means she's seen Brad penis. Brad.
Well, yeah,
penis.
No, she slept with Brad, didn't she? Wasn't that always one of the? Yeah,
what?
I'm almost positive. God, he's a pin anyway.
Brad
so
Pitt, yes.
Well, yeah, he was. He
Cobain
was in that one
compared
picture,
to him. I mean, Cobain could be average.
And exceed him.
Yeah,
it's funny. This is back when nudity was something unusual. The story was out that. Brad Pitt, there's nude pictures of him. What was he, stretching or something?
Squatting on a beach.
Yeah, it was. He was inside, though. Wasn't there a sliding glass door, and you could see him? And so I think we sent an intern out to buy it.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And brought it in, and I just remember Mike Clark was obsessed with the fact that he was lifting off the bag. Like I'm saying, he's lifting off the bag!
That's not him. That can't be him there. This is a song. This is a song Shania Twain wrote about him after she nailed him. It's called "That Don't Impress Me Much." It's about his dick.
Shania Twain.
Swear to God, yeah, I'm not. I did not make that up.
Somehow, I think he might attract women anyway.
Wait a minute.
He's handsome.
What the hell does
like
he do to people?
He's 1 inch or something. He's not that tiny. Although I agree with Clark. He looks like he's lifting up. I think he overfluffed. I think he's a heavy. I think he's a heavy fluffer.
That's weird.
Must have known there was a Cameron, so he overfluffed.
Is he such a dick that people are constantly talking about his junk?
Huh.
That's a fine line, though. You don't want to overfluff.
No, because if you're hard, then it's like
he's hard. That's all he's got.
But a proper fluffing could, you know, that could add.
Goes a long
could
way.
Add, and I think it's only fair.
But did we really need to know that 25 years later, Kurt Cobain had a huge donkey dog?
Compared to Brad Pitt, though, is my point.
This was actually...
She didn't say compared to Brad Pitt,
this is
though.
What she really said.
You really gave my little hole quite a stretch.
Gross.
Oh, you can take that as you...
I told Brandon, I said, maybe she was confusing him with that guy from Wendy's that sucked on her tit.
Oh, yeah, the homeless guy?
Yeah, the black homeless guy.
She's had all kinds of stuff going on in there, so how does she know?
What is going on with her?
That's my favorite Courtney Love moment.
Maybe she's alive. Does it seem like, wouldn't it seem like she'd be dead?
Oh, for sure.
Think about that guy. He's probably
well,
telling
that
story.
Well, if she were, he would be alive.
That homeless guy's possible. Telling that story. No one is believing him. I just went into Wendy's to get warm.
I guarantee you, he's in the most comfortable chair at Starbucks right now. Just growing roots.
No, he's going back to that same Wendy's hoping to suckle on someone else's teat.
How did that happen? And can we,
it's crazy.
Is there a video of it or just
there's
a picture?
There's a picture.
All right.
I'll see if I can find it.
All right, while you're looking.
I know I'm going to spend way too much time looking for this.
Well, take your time. Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram spring sales events going on. If you're wondering what all the excitement's about. They have 19 Ram Bighorn 4x4s as low as $166 a month at Zot's spring sales event. How about leasing a new loaded 19 Jeep Compass as low as $198 a month? Or if you want to move the whole family around in luxury, a 19 Chrysler Pacifica as low as $292 a month. Plus, last month's employee pricing was a smash. So our friends at Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram are doing it again. While supplies last, get employee pricing on all 18 Jeep Wranglers in stock. Nobody is doing that for you. See details. Surf their massive inventory at dealsindeed.com. And then call Luke Nowacki when you're done, because you should be thinking about some things down the road, and people don't like to do this, and I didn't either. And I remember contributing to my 401k going, 59 and a half? What? I'm going to give money and not touch it until I'm 59 and a half? Well, I did, and I'm glad I did. But I didn't keep up with the investment options terribly well in the 401k either, and that's what Luke does. Or maybe it's just that you're having trouble figuring out how to plan your financial future, or you don't have a 529 for the kids' college, or you're just looking to figure out how do I put some money away and plan for the future. Luke Nowacki, that's what he does. 248-663-4748, and many other things like life insurance, and he helped Trudy with her health care, and he's just one of those kinds of people. Knows how to cut through the red tape and knows how to
plan. And my car insurance.
Oh, your car insurance too? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he recommended.
Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated, separately owned, other entities, and our marketing names, product services, reference here, independent Royal Alliance Associates Incorporated. 248-663-4748 for Luke Nowacki.
Not only did I find the picture, I found the original article with his quotes.
Oh, the homeless guy's
there
quotes?
You go. Yeah. And they gave his name. Maybe he has a house and a phone now. I'm going to look him up.
Please do. And let me know the percentage.
100.
Kofi Asari says he hopes to print the infamous image on T-shirts and use it to further his dreams of becoming an actor or model. Oh, he's probably in movies we've seen.
Maybe he's in the new Cobain
Wait,
movie.
A model? I don't remember this guy looking model hot.
I don't know. You can only find like really
a
small
I remember a guy that looked like a homeless guy. I mean, he was a homeless dude, wasn't he?
I thought he... Oh, my gosh. He might be listening.
He's the only second... He's the second Kofi that he I'm is, ever aware of.
Him and Anon.
Mark, you found his number?
I think so. It gives his
what
age...
percentage?
It gives his age there, right?
23.
What year was that? Does it say what year?
We could easily find that out.
All right.
Oh, wait. 2009? Does that sound right?
No, that does not sound
right. Sounds
right.
Too recent, doesn't it?
Yeah.
If you Google homeless man sucks Courtney Love's breast, I bet it would come right up.
Yeah, or just do Courtney Love Wendy's and look at image search.
Oh, okay.
It was a lot easier.
But we need the date, so the story would help.
It says, contrary to urban legend, the dude was not homeless.
What?
Oh, well, that's the distinction.
Oh, bullshit. You know, that pisses me off.
So it was 2004. How old was he? I'm sorry, I wasn't
23.
Listening. What's the math on that, Karen?
23 plus 15 equals 19, so he's 38.
Okay.
Although, what's his birth date? Do we know?
No, but there's a guy. There's one that's 38, so we're good.
Okay. Sorry, Crows. It's great exposure for me. I look at the picture and I think, wow, that's a classic shot. It's not a classic shot. It's gross. It's controversial, but it's all in good fun. The photo, which shows a grinning Love pulling down her top while Asari suckles her like a newborn baby, has been burning up the internet and is rumored to have been bought by the National Enquirer. He was heading into Wendy's at 8 p.m. last Wednesday when he saw Love flashing her breasts at paparazzi outside. All I wanted was some chicken nuggets. I saw Miss Love flashing everyone. I had to push the envelope. I figured, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
He's
she
right.
flashed me. So I was like, may I? She was cool with it.
May I?
It wasn't like I was trying to do anything to degrade her. I just said, thank you. And she got in a vehicle with some people she was with. They sped off, and the paparazzi sped after him. She arrested hours later if she allegedly hit a fan with a microphone stand.
Hey, butt off!
While performing at Plaid. Asari, who is black, said he was offended after some identified him as homeless when describing the photo. That would be us. I appreciate being vilified like that, said Asari. A reservations agent for a limousine company lives with his parents in Morningside.
And he was black.
It was an assassination of my character. I'm not homeless! I graduated from SUNY New Paltz last year. I majored in public relations. Ooh!
That's a good public relations move, Woody. Did there. What's his next one?
With regards to the more serious allegations. Oh, no, that's not him.
All right. You want to try his number?
Yeah, let's try him. What if he's done it with anybody else?
Oh, there you go, Brandon.
Thank you.
Oh, like that's what he's known for now?
Suckling on.
I think Courtney Love likes getting her boobs out because
boobs?
That distracts people from her face and what it looks like.
Oh, shot.
I know.
Shot. Hole.
Remember her answering machine? Were they answering machine messages she left somebody? They just went on and on and on and on and on and on.
That sounds like her.
Oh,
I think we listened to some on the air.
Yeah.
What?
The number you dialed is not in service.
Well, he's homeless. He's disconnected.
I got one more.
Oh, he is homeless.
She sounds really happy about it.
What's the percentage on this, Brandon?
100.
Wow, this is a Mark number. He says 100.
100.
Brandon, you can add your own spin to it, though.
I'm going to go ahead and say 28%.
Whoa.
Ooh, 72%
wow.
difference.
What?
Man.
100. Oh, my God. Please answer. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, Kofi.
You can turn the music up a little louder than that. I hate it when music is so low you can't tell it's on. Like either make it loud enough or forget it.
Yeah, Mark's fault too.
Here's one that might be. I was looking up another number. That one might be him too.
Stop saying numbers are 100%, by the way.
It's turning into Justin Gordon.
No, it's the bottom 100%. We got to make it work. Did you like Hole?
A couple songs, yeah.
I
did because they're Billy Corgan songs.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It was I liked Hole.
Hubbub about that.
Realized at some point.
Well, Kofi, maybe just he's not answering this number. But it's definitely him, right?
He's dumpster diving.
We can all agree this is his number.
No, we cannot all agree.
What?
All right, I got one more.
What's the percentage on this one, Brandon?
They're all 100%.
It's going down. This one's got to be at least 11 and a half.
Oh, what?
11.5.
Oh, you guys are railroading me.
Well, all three of them cannot be his number. So something's got to be less.
Okay, 33% for all of them.
Don't go from being believed to be homeless to having three phones.
Well, maybe he sold a lot of t-shirts with a picture of him on there.
I never did get a copy of that t-shirt.
Hello?
Is Kofi there, please?
Who?
Kofi Asare?
I think you might have the wrong number.
What?
Are you the guy that nursed on Courtney Love's breast in Wendy's back in 2004?
Yes.
Oh, that's you, Kofi?
Maybe it's pronounced coffee.
Delicious.
It's delicious.
Told you.
We're calling.
Kind of scummy.
This is his number.
This is the Drew and Mike.
Call me anytime you want.
Okay.
Because I'm very healthy from that.
Oh, good. Well, that's a healthy thing to do.
Yeah, you get a lot of antibodies from Courtney Love's breasts.
It had a little bit of heroin taste to it, but all in all, it was pretty good.
A tang of heroin.
We got a rock dog. So you're a rocker, man.
Yeah, man.
Okay. This is the Drew and Mike show in Detroit, and we were looking for the guy. There's a guy actually named Kofi Asare.
That's him.
Okay, maybe it is you. Who
you're talking to him, and I'm a lawyer listener.
Cool.
Oh, boy.
I keep it stiff.
Oh, he keeps it stiff. Is this a 248 number?
Wait.
Yes.
Oh, it worked.
Hey, is this one? Are you one of Mark's friends? Because he's this trying sounds to make really this work so hard.
You're blowing it for me. I mean, Kofi, you're blowing it for me.
Who's Mark?
What?
Who are you? I don't know Mark.
Okay, who is this?
Who is?
Who is this? Who are you?
Brian sent me a text.
The fuck are you?
So next time you guarantee your number, use mine. But you were supposed to say you were him.
Why
blew
did you say
it.
You were Kofi.
I was laying down. Sorry.
You son of a bitch.
Okay. Well, you sounded like a really cool listener there, or a really cool wrong number.
Well, you know how I roll.
All right, Brian.
The worst.
You know, I guess tomorrow I can be somebody else.
No, never again.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'll recognize your voice. But thank you.
Before you know, you're going to be homeless at Wendy's.
See,
I'm like two strawberries dongs away from that. So,
all right. Finance boy, save your money for when you call 1-900 make out with a guy.
Yeah. Damn it. All right, one more item in the music world. R. Kelly.
All right.
Bye.
You can hang up on him, Brandon.
R. Kelly has suggested that there's a sex assault case that he just didn't show up in court, so he was found guilty. And he says that, no, I didn't respond because I can't read. And the other news today was that he paid the back child support of $62,000 that he had left, which, you know, I feel pretty stupid about the person that paid it for him a few weeks ago. That seems like a little wasteful. I mean, I hope that wasn't a big part of their net worth. But anyway, as far as him not being able to read, so he didn't respond, how does he manage to get to Ethiopia to do a concert, but he can't find out about an assault case? So he's saying that he opens all his own mail and just goes, I can't read. Throws it out. I mean, wouldn't touring be kind of difficult? Yeah. I mean, he played at the Grammys. How did he know when to go? How did he know anything?
Well, it's one of those things where someone holds his hand, but they never give him bad news, just good news.
Well, they did negotiate a number of settlements with underage girls that he had something that he didn't want disclosed. Mm. I mean, about two dozen of them. So,
lie.
Yeah, that's not. I didn't really fall for that one. Call me crazy. Mm. Now.
Do you have your passport?
There it is.
Did you get your shots?
Girl, get to Ethiopia.
Would you like to come back with Rob?
That's pretty complicated to get to Ethiopia.
At least you know he doesn't have a teleprompter when he's singing. He won't be able to read it. Maybe that's when he makes up crazy songs like this.
Girl, would you like to come back?
It's kind of a genius in a way.
I need somebody to help me not have a big heart because my heart is so big.
His heart is so big.
I flew in on a helicopter.
Ridiculous. I wanted to talk about the Colorado shooters because this school shooting, it's very different. First of all, the students attacked the shooter, which is great, although one was killed.
But think about that difference. How far is it from Columbine? 17 miles?
Yeah, it's very close.
And, you know, Columbine was not the first, but the real huge one, and they learned all the lessons from it, where it's kind of like if someone were to try to hijack a plane now, it would never make it there.
Yeah.
So no one's going through that again.
Yeah, people don't. There was a big, did you guys see the brawl in Spirit Airlines, by the way?
No. That's just a regular Spirit flight.
I mean, there were some haymakers going down.
Really?
Yeah. I think that was today or yesterday. But anyway, they're having a vigil for Kendrick Castillo, who was the person that was killed, yeah, who went after the shooter.
Who once told his father, if that ever happens in my school,
yep,
I'm going to fight him.
A good guy.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of a weird conversation. I guess I'm going to believe it, but...
Oh. I mean, yeah, I didn't. I never questioned it.
Did Joey ever tell you what his philosophy was on school shootings?
No.
He didn't. I just didn't see...
Really? You know, don't believe that?
Well, I don't know. I mean...
He was going to go be a Marine. I don't know. He sounds like a man of action.
No, I said I'm going to believe it, but I... I hate to point out how skeptical I am of how
so,
many
you're
things...
You're so cynical.
But anyway, of course, we're going to believe it because this guy was a hero. I mean, he tried, he did all he could, and it's so horribly sad. And seeing the father cry, I mean, it was just awful. It's just horrible. I mean, it couldn't be worse. So they have a vigil, and the students go, and they've got their candles, and they're very sincere. They're very upset. Naturally, they got also other kids are in critical condition. Eight were shot altogether. Or one killed, eight injured, wasn't that?
Yep.
Yes, there's eight others injured, some very badly. And they go in, and it becomes this thing on gun control, where there's a House member and a Senate member who are speaking about the need for federal action on guns. And it turns out this thing was organized by the Brady campaign to prevent gun violence. And so... What do you know? These kids are listening to this boring speech about gun laws, and they were livid, and they walked out.
Good. They should.
What? How could anyone be so stupid?
Not the time, not the place. Yeah.
I mean, honest to God, I know. I would think a senator and a House rep would know better than to do that. It just happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, God bless the students for saying, fuck you.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. That's crazy. And not only that, the Brady campaign to prevent gun violence, and I'm not against the Brady campaign to prevent gun violence. It's obviously after the press secretary was shot by John Hinckley. Sarah Brady started an organization or two or three. I'm sure they have the best of intentions, but come on. Not only do they invited all these students to this vigil. It was a last-minute thing. I don't think the students knew what it was. They invited reporters. So, obviously, these two politicians...
Sounds like they're making it about them.
Yeah, they made it about them, and they wanted to get some good publicity. Look, we're doing something at a vigil.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought that was incredible. I'm like, that is... Where's the outrage?
Oh, there's plenty of outrage online.
There should be. There should be outrage everywhere.
I think everybody's lost their bearings. They really, like...
I'm just
like the chicken thing was just so ridiculously appalling to me and undignified and this kind of behavior.
Oh, the chicken!
Oh, yeah.
The chicken.
That was just dork. Dumb. That was just
I
a
was
bad
dumb,
joke.
But it was it's like really undignified to behave that way.
Are you surprised?
The weird part, the weirdest thing is Trudy. I'm watching that the morning that happened. He brought Kentucky Fried. Mm-hmm. To his seat at the Barr hearings, and Barr didn't show up, so he has this thing of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Who, by the way, where do you get a thing of Kentucky Fried Chicken at 9 in the morning?
Yeah, it was pointed out that he bought it the night before.
Yeah.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, so he had cold chicken.
Clever.
Yeah.
Hey, I kind of love cold chicken, though.
And so people are, you know, grabbing a piece, he's passing it around, and he offered one to this black woman who made this face. What? You offered chicken to a black woman? But back to the shooters... This Devin Erickson...
Would it be better, by the way, if he offered a piece to everybody but the black person?
Then they'd say, you didn't give me a piece because I'm black!
I like the idea of there's one black person there and he's handing out chicken to everyone. He gets there and he's like, oh, no, you can't have any. Because you can't win in that situation.
I can't offer you any. Devin Erickson, the fuchsia-haired, black-haired shooter, fuchsia and black-haired shooter, whose hair's hanging in his face, by the way.
Pull it back. Comb his head back.
I would have shaved his head. If it was up to me, shave his head, and I would have peeled his eyes open and pointed them at the judge.
It's a haircut.
Asshole.
Yeah. Clockwork Orange style.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted
forks. With no drops.
I just wanted his head shaved so bad. Yeah. Because you know that would destroy him, and he thinks he's so cool with his long hair and his eyes. Ooh, aren't you cool?
With purple hair, yeah. doesn't he have a
pussy?
What's his sidekick is of an undeterminate sexual identity?
She identifies as Alec. She has not had surgery. She's transitioning.
Wait, so female to male?
Female to male.
Okay.
Yeah, she wants to be called Alec. Her name was Maya, but I guess some people called her Alec, and they said that she was bullied and that these two people had mental health issues. And by the way, I saw a few people say this. They said, oh, if anybody's going to shoot up the school, I would have picked. I think they were referring to Devin Erickson, actually. I'm not sure they were referring to.
Not surprised at all.
Alec.
Well, there's plenty of his social media that he talks about shooting up schools.
Yeah, and he had, he had spray painted his car before he left the school with
cool.
Fuck society.
Good one.
Car's so, being towed, by the way.
So deep.
So, anyway, Alec's attorney made a big thing out of, by the way, police have reported that Alec is a she. He prefers the pronoun he. And then the student says, their actions were horrible, but Alec is not a girl. Mm. And somebody else said, Devin didn't do this because he's a liberal. He's struggling with mental issues, and this is for a time for awareness. I mean, they seem to be suggesting that there was a reason they did this, that you know, we need to think about what they did because what happened to them? I mean, it's all about them. Almost like it's understandable when you're treated this way or you have these issues that you would do this. No, I stopped talking like that. It's fucking crazy. And then this other girl said, supporting LGBT youth is important. Alex is sweet and selfless. Selfless?
Selfless, really?
Selfless.
Hmm.
Selfless. Shooting people and trying to kill people at school. That is not
Sounds
selfless.
Very selfish.
That's not selfless at all. And supporting LGBT youth is important at any time. But, you know, when someone shoots people with the intention of killing them, I think I'm a little less concerned about what pronoun they're called.
Oh, I know. The cops put a statement on that. They said, it's a woman because that's where she's at right now. Well, that's where she's at right now.
Well, I don't think the police really give a fuck.
Nobody cares.
Nine people were shot.
Yeah.
And that sort of overwhelms what's going on with the person's sexuality. It really isn't that important.
That's not what people are going to think of when they think of Alec anymore. They're not going to think about what pronoun. They're going to think about how you tried to shoot up your school. And you failed. You failed, by the way.
I wonder if they intended to die because...
Well, good. Let's fulfill that.
The Devin kid, he sure didn't look happy in court. But then again, he's unhappy.
Did you see what his Snapchat handle was?
No, I did not.
Devin Kills.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, what else did he post on social media?
Cool. Let's see. There's a whole list here.
Do we know where they got the guns, by the way? I don't even know why I asked him.
I don't know.
Oh, they were bought legally. Everything's cool.
It was in my prep. It was his songs. Remember, he had a YouTube.
They already pulled it down.
Yeah, he played guitar. Yeah.
Your prep was sold by the time they
No,
got
it
to
wasn't. It was when I sent it, it went right to the entire page, jerks. All yours.
That would be jerk singular. I read your prep.
Oh, his neighbors called him a great kid from a great family.
Oh, yeah, he's a great kid.
Cool.
Yeah, sure. He only shot nine people.
Social media pages indicate that he's an avid guitar player, youth theater actor, and a registered Democrat. Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo! Who on occasion has expressed disdain for Christians, criticized President Donald Trump, and praised former President Barack Obama. Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo, it's his fault
now. Oh, so the Obama lover shot up a school.
I guarantee you that's out there somewhere.
Oh no, it's out there both ways because I saw it as Trump drove him crazy. And then someone pointed out that now wait a second, when there was a shooter that supported Trump, you said see the Trump loving person shot people, and so you can't say that the person that hate Trump shot people. It you get one side or the other, you don't get both sides. I said, you're both fucking out of your minds.
Yeah, you cancel each other
what
out.
Is wrong with people? Honest to God.
One of this loser's Instagram post was, I'm covered in ink and addicted to pain.
Oh, then why didn't you shoot your fucking self, you asshole?
I'm only posting one of my senior pictures so people don't think I dropped out since I don't take classes at STEM anymore.
Then why are you shooting up the place if you don't go there? Well, you know,
you know what I hate? All these Christians who hate gays. Yet in the Bible, it says in Deuteronomy 17.
Deuteronomy
17.
He's so deep.
If someone doesn't do what their priest tells them to do, they're supposed to die. There's plenty of crazy stuff like that. But all they get out of it is, ew, gays.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I thought kids were so self-aware. Why are they getting bullied? If kids are so aware of all these things, then
guess
why
who's the Slender Man for Halloween? Me! You a Slender Man. Cool, dude.
That guy sucks.
He's the worst.
I got so pissed. Can't they cut his hair? Can't someone cut his hair? Can they bully him in prison, please?
Draw a penis on his forehead?
Yes.
Certainly.
That'd be great. Shut up. Bald.
Draw
with
a penis going into his mouth.
Since he's covered in ink and addicted to pain.
Yeah, give him another tattoo.
Penis tattoo.
I hate these school shooters. They're so self-absorbed in the end. They're all about themselves.
Yeah. There's no big movement or meaning. It's just you.
I'm so angry.
I saw your tweet about Rodman today.
Yeah.
Made it into a break because that was so amusing.
What? Dennis? Oh, my God. He's just so... Yeah. Oh, yeah. My tweet was about from World Peace. Wait, what did I say? From International...
I don't know.
Peacemaker to...
Oh, right, yes.
Shoplifter or...
Yes.
I couldn't even go home.
What did he do? He robbed a yoga place?
Yeah.
He and three other people, and he would... distract the staff so that the other people could just stuff stuff into their, like, you know,
well,
their bags and up their shirts and stuff.
There was some bowl in the lobby, and someone dropped it, and it shattered into a million pieces. So they start stealing all the clothes while they're cleaning this up, thinking, oh, we're so clever. And they're all drunk, I guess.
Should we call the yoga?
Yeah, why not?
And somebody hid behind him. Execution, then they all jet, and of course it's on videotape.
Yeah, they got security cameras all over the place.
If you're going to... commit a crime or rob someplace, I don't think I'd want Dennis Rodman with me. He's pretty recognizable.
Yeah. Well, he was using that to distract people.
Oh, so they're supposed to go, oh my God, Dennis Rodman. Oh, wow. Okay. Huh.
You know, Dennis Rodman.
That's kind of genius, Drudy.
Dennis Rodman has driven me crazy for a long time. He is a very good basketball player.
Yeah.
He's a great rebounder. He's never a good shooter, not a particularly good scorer, but he's one of the best rebounders ever.
Yeah.
See if they.
His name is Vibe. Is the name of this place.
Vibe is the name of the place.
Vibe.
Is it a yoga place?
Yes.
Why are you still calling it a yoga?
It's
place?
Hot yoga.
Hot.
Hot.
You've reached Vibe Hot Yoga, Newport Beach, located at 100
West
Coast
you
Highway.
Wimps, not answering your phone.
103. If you are most up-to-date class schedule, please visit our website at vibehotyoga.com.
No, we're not going to your website.
Or download our mobile app, Vibe Hot Yoga.
I can leave a message, I will.
Or you can leave a message and we'll
I can
get
help
back
him with
to you as soon as we get in.
That voice Thanks. Message is sad.
Yeah, I was trying to determine the value of the item that was broken in the... The Dennis Rodman incident was, we're going to start a GoFundMe. We're friends of Dennis, and we wanted to make you whole again. So if you could please call the 248 number, we wanted to get that going and get you guys put back together. Thank you very much.
That was nice.
Hey!
I'm so tired of Dennis Rodman.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, acknowledge he's a great basketball player. He's got 5 championship rings. It was funny when he's on The Apprentice and he was just drunk as hell the whole time.
Yeah.
And Trump would be going, Dennis, you're a champion. I know you're a champion. I know you. And it's like, no, since then, he's a disaster area. He's a million tattoos. I think all the tattoos, didn't they start with Dennis Rodman? Isn't he responsible for all the green blobs?
He's a big one, yeah.
He was one of the first big tattoo people. I think he is the green blob influencer.
Yes.
Probably more than anyone.
Yeah.
So there's that. Then there's that whole thing when he was marrying himself.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, oh, my God, Dennis Rodman's marrying himself. And ever since then, and probably before, he thinks he's hilarious.
Yeah.
Doesn't he? I mean, he always thinks he's funny. He's not funny at all. He also thinks that he brokered peace.
He did.
With Un. No, what? He did not.
Well, yeah,
and that whole stupid basketball game, he was drunk and crying on CNN. That was the most ridiculous interview ever.
So happy.
It was not awkward for the other players of the team either who were sitting behind him.
They all were thinking, why am I here?
Kenny Anderson.
and it
so
just
funny.
Goes on and on. The stupidity just never ends with this guy. And it's always like, did you hear about this, Rodman? You know, Dennis Rodman did blank. And it's like, so what? He's an idiot. He's not funny either. And now this podcast. Oh, my God. The podcast is so stupid. I can hardly live with myself.
Maybe he just doesn't. He needs somebody as a good partner to bring out.
No, he needs to realize, A, he's not funny.
Yeah.
B, he's not terribly important. I mean, he really.
He's not really interesting anymore either.
No, he's not that interesting, except that he's kind of.
A mess. He's a big mess.
A mess. He's always a mess. Oh, is this the podcast?
Yeah, pretty good production.
Wait till you hear it. This is some fine.
Hello, guys. Whoa. Your favorite guy in the world, man, Dennis Rodman. Guess what, guys? My show today, On the Rebound. My new podcast show, man. Come on, guys. Join me. A lot of people around the world is trying to call in and try to get on my show. But we have a couple today, man. It's going to be really, really good, man. Hope you guys can join
Pause
me
for a second.
On my show.
Like, okay, you're going to start wondering, why is this couple on the show? What is this? I mean, there's no introduction of what the show is. All it says
your favorite person, Dennis
in the description,
Rodman.
Yeah, I know, it's Dennis Rodman, so it doesn't matter, because he's so funny. they say that, you know, Ed and Trudy have been dating for 3 months, and are Ed and Trudy really in love, or, you know, is it too early to be in love? And Dennis tries to get the bottom of it, and if he fails, then he's on the rebound.
Oh, my God. That's a show.
And then what?
Nothing. I don't know. I have no idea. I got 5 minutes in, and I was like, this is the biggest abortion possibly ever.
Rebound.
Abigail's
on the rebound.
So he interviews them separately and then together?
That's what I say, guys. This is a hot show, man. On the Rebound with Dennis Rodman. Come on, guys. Come on, man. You got to admit, though, man.
What?
I'm pretty
what do you want me to
fun,
do?
Man. This is amazing. We got a couple. Oh, look at this. Oh, she's all in white today, guys. What's going on?
I'm feeling white.
Oh, you feeling white. She,
oh, fucking, wait, that sounds bad.
That's what I said. Yeah, I'm feeling white today. Fucking bitch is Mexican.
What did he say?
White.
She said she's feeling white, and he said fucking bitch is Mexican.
All right, baby. So what's your name, huh?
And that was what's so funny?
In his mind.
Oh, it's Africa.
She laughed.
Yeah, see, because it's awkward as hell.
What just happened that is so funny?
She's laughing because, oh, my God, why am I here with Dennis Rodman right now
on
a podcast?
I prefer drunk Rodman.
The one thing about politics, can obey them.
With the cigar.
If you understand. I got a guy.
If you understand the rest of the team behind
what Kenan Bay did.
Yeah?
Do you understand what he did?
What did he do? You
in
tell
this
me.
Country.
No. You tell me. What did he do?
No.
Murders
you
people.
Tell me. You tell me.
He's talking to them. They're asking him, like, hey, did you try to get that guy who's that American who's currently being held hostage in North Korea?
Right. Who stole a poster.
No,
this is before
was a different
that.
One.
Oh, okay. Different one.
This was a guy who had
not
a Bible.
Otto Warm Beer.
No, yeah. The guy he's talking about had a Bible in North Korea. And okay. So they arrested him, and they were holding him for years and years. And so he's defending Kim Jong by saying, do you know what he did?
Well, Dennis knows him better than anyone.
Tell me, why is he held captive?
They haven't released any charges. They haven't released. They haven't released any reason.
I would love to speak on this.
Go ahead.
Look at his friend in the background.
You got 10 guys here. 10 guys here.
Who want to leave.
They have left their families.
They want to leave the interview.
Their damn families. To help this country as a sports venture.
No, they're playing a stupid exhibition
guys,
game.
All these guys here.
What does that have to do with the
do
guy that's being held
that?
Hostage?
We do, and we appreciate that, and we wish them well with cultural exchange.
No. I'm just saying, no, I don't give a what the, I don't give a rat's ass what the hell you think. I'm saying to you, look at these guys here. Look at them.
Yeah, but Dennis, don't put it on them. Don't use them as an excuse for the behavior that you're putting on yourself.
They came here.
You just basically were saying that Kenneth Bay did something wrong. We don't even know what the charges are. Don't use these guys as a shield for you, Dennis.
Listen.
Is this Greg Lloyd?
I got it. Let me do this.
Whoa.
Really?
Look, he's a moron.
People around the world.
around the world, I'm going to do one thing. Your guy behind the mic right now, we are the guys here doing one thing. We have to go back to America and take the abuse. Do you have to take the abuse? Well, we gonna take.
Well, what does this have to do with anything?
Yeah,
I mean,
no,
he's idiotic. He cannot express himself, and he's not funny, and he's not doing anything great. He's making money for this trip, isn't he?
Yeah, but here's the kicker. He was right when they released Kenneth Bay. Kenneth Bay credited him for getting him out early.
Kenneth Bay credited Rodman?
Yeah, that's the guy he wouldn't talk about in the interview.
Okay, what was he charged with?
He was the guy putting the Bibles in the hotel.
Okay, is that worthy of being a hostage for all that time? That's all Chris Cuomo's trying to say. What did this guy do that's so terrible? And Rodman's like, you don't understand! Okay, let's go back to the stupid podcast.
Look at Hardy's laughing at
us. I'm African, I'm feeling white today.
African, I'm feeling white today. You fucking blame the motherfucker. But
I
say,
I don't even understand what he's saying.
What's going on?
Oh.
I mean, you know, besides that, you know, you're feeling white, Africa. Any Hispanic names you want to put out there?
No.
So where you
from? You can't get any more Hispanic than Brian's name.
Really?
What?
You Hispanic?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So.
Said she's Mexican.
So you're from?
I'm from California. No, yeah, Hispanic, but Mexican.
Yeah,
so
we've already covered this.
What in the hell are you talking about?
I'm kind of mainstream too, but...
He never says anything.
David Lee Roth actually should feel pretty good about himself at maybe this point.
That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to make you guys work and get no pay, no shit, right?
I've been
in a hot fucking sun. I don't get it, man. You know, just that's like a what, you know... FYI shit.
What?
FYI, I'm very whitewashed right now. I feel very, uncultured.
Uncultured, right? I'm just hoping.
Can we bring in the other guy? Can you speed ahead? I just want to... This just goes nowhere.
See ya.
Or just go ahead a little bit. Oh, there's Brian.
It's cloudy.
I liked it. It rained, and I got to go home. And
it was
fine.
Okay, so I thought it rained in California. I thought it rained in California, but I guess it does. But anyway, Mike, you know what? What's your name, man? Speaking up.
My name is Brian.
Brian with a B-R-I-A-N.
Who cares?
It's B-R-A-Y-A-N. Two A's, actually.
So now, so he interviews her, then he interviews him.
Brian?
Brain.
Talking to Mike. Let's talk into the mic.
Oh, okay.
Right. Fast forward to when they're together.
Say that again.
Guys, D-Rod here, Dennis Rodman, man, on the rebound. You got to do one thing. Like, comments,
wait, he's wearing something different now. This is edited.
Come on, man. Motherfuckers, guys, come on.
It probably takes 500 takes to get him to do one as good as this.
All I want.
Oh, my God.
So now he brings them both in together. What?
Yeah, man. Back here with Dennis Rodman on the rebound, brother. We got Brian right now. But guess what, man?
I love the show name.
We're bringing your wife in right now, man.
It's pretty good show.
This will be really fun today, man. She is right here. She's feeling all fucking white. That's what she told me earlier, man. I feel all white today. Now, I asked her what her name was. She said, oh, I'm Africa. I said, Africa? What the hell is that? She said, no, I'm not talking my real name. But she said, I feel white today.
She said it was so clever. Thanks for listening to your own podcast.
Oh, yeah. Are you Hispanic?
What does
we're talking
that mean?
To Mike. Talking to
Mike. As in, I'm feeling the color white. Okay. That's what I meant.
All right. Boy, I'll tell you one thing, girl. You're in a big surprise today. You are really in a big surprise.
Is there an advertiser on this show? Because I would like to approach them.
I don't believe there is, but I can check.
What's your name? He said, Bright.
It's Brian.
Brian, isn't it?
Brian.
Brian, I don't know, man. That's it.
He is so clever and engaging.
I think, hasn't he just said the same three phrases over and over again?
I know. How painful is this? I mean, to think that it's not fair to him for him announce he has a podcast, because there are actually people who go and waste their time listening to it.
4,700 views.
On YouTube?
1,200
are there comments?
Likes.
I'm dying to hear if anyone says, I love this! Does anyone actually say that?
No.
What do they say?
No one likes
Dennis that. Rodman is a national treasure and must be what is that?
It's all cynicism.
Protected at all costs.
This one says, this is not bad at all for a podcast, and I love the live action awesome podcast.
Well, I mean, if they like Dennis Rodman, they definitely could be a
great podcast. Much love to Dennis.
Make these more often. They kill me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, this is all Dennis doing this.
Oh.
Hi, Dennis. Podcast was good. 10 out of 10.
Wow.
Does anyone see what I see?
Yeah, everybody does.
Then why are they saying they like it?
Because they're idiots.
It's made up. It's made up.
Oh, God.
It's BS. Okay. All right.
Dennis is the GOAT.
Greatest of all time.
Another 10 out of 10.
Wow. I got to study this and find out what he's doing and bring it to our show.
He's being Dennis. We just have to have Dennis on the show.
I guess so.
Add him to the network.
So,
can you imagine having him come down here? How chaotic that would be.
No, I would hate him as a guest because he goes nowhere. You know, he goes in circles.
Yeah, he'll say the same two things over and over and over.
He's the least entertaining person possibly ever because everyone thinks they have to listen to him. For some reason, he has a voice. I mean, beyond a social media voice, people. Dennis Rodman is friends with Kim Jong-un. Let's see what he has to say about the effort to improve relations with Kim Jong-un. He's like, I love my, I've got a cigarette. He's crying.
Isn't he due to go back there by now?
These 10 guys.
10 guys who are regretting their decision.
I got so many death threats.
No, you haven't.
Oh, death threats
are from fake trolls.
That reminds me.
I'm going to kill you, Dennis.
Can you queue up Outside the Lines to the first couple guests? We talked about the Cubs fan who made the okay sign in the background.
Mark is so conflicted right now.
What? What's going on? What?
Because it's penalty kicks in his favorite soccer
team. We're going to know Chelsea advances to the finals of the Europa League.
We're going to ban soccer any minute now.
There are penalty kicks. They're not the
last
two.
We record the show for 2 hours and 20 minutes a day.
I know, when the games are on.
Turn Outside the Lines. Good God.
This is really hurting Mark.
We're going to have no TV. I'm taking the TV out of here.
It's down to the last shot, too.
I know.
He was just hoping you'd delay for one more minute.
Hey, let's watch another Rodman podcast.
Let's do a really bad bit for 2 minutes.
Did you write a Nancy Armour right at the beginning of this?
Nancy Armour and this other guy are on the screen. It's the Cubs game where...
The Cubs winning Wednesday night on Jason Hayward's 11th inning home run.
Well, I think he's going
into
Addison Russell.
Which is another interesting story.
Earlier in the day, the Cubs announcing that they had banned a fan for life for making this gesture during a game report by the former Cub and current game analyst Doug Glanville during Tuesday's game.
Yep.
The OK gesture associated with white power, the fingers forming a W and
it also
a P.
means OK.
But that wasn't all that was going on in Cubs world.
Infielder
Addison Russell made his first major league.
The way the guy is sitting, by the way, he to make the OK signal, unless he wants to go like this, it's kind of hard because they're shooting his crotch area. So he does peace like this, sideways peace.
Well, I mean, you can see his chest.
This.
I mean, he could do that. I mean, I'm sure he's trying to be cheeky.
We don't know what he's trying to do, and what you find out is even more interesting. I don't care about Addison Russell. He was suspended for 40 games for domestic abuse, and now he's back.
And then got booed by the fans.
Although there are people cheering him.
Is this Nancy Armour?
Yeah, that's Nancy Armour.
The reaction last night.
They kicked the guy out of the stadium. Now he's banned.
Indefinitely.
You saw a mixture of boos and cheers. You know, this was not something that was a surprise. I think people realized that when he served his suspension, that yes, he started out at Iowa, but that he was going to be back at Wrigley Field, back with the Cubs sooner rather than later, which
Nancy
is exactly
Armour's
what
commentary.
Happened.
Now, Will, you know, we've grown accustomed to seeing teams in professional sports welcome back
there's the guy
players
who's demanding
who
a standing ovation
for domestic violence
wife.
Issues the
come
Cubs
on,
themselves
get up.
In 2016
he's so good swing a
bat. It's like
World
cheering
Series.
Tiger Woods when he came back to the Masters. Hey, you had a million sluts, stand up.
What is the message that is being sent when we see the players back in the fold as we did last night?
That
well,
they've been
the
they've been in trouble and they're not in trouble anymore.
Major League Baseball, the Chicago
what
Cubs
other message
don't care
is it?
About these issues. I truly don't. I think in the end that we have to reconcile ourselves to the idea of second chances. We do have to reconcile ourselves.
I was
going to
say, Will Cain will have the
throw away
opposite opinion of Nancy Armour.
Yeah, well, on the OK sign.
Typically anything.
To go
yeah.
that far, we can still say the actions that they are guilty of and accused of in some circumstances are condemnation worthy. We can do both things at the same time. Give
really?
Second chances and condemn what they've been involved in. Nancy, how would you say the Cubs are handling the messaging around the return of Addison Russell?
You know, it, Will makes a great point about, you know, not just being able to discard somebody. And I think the tone of the Cubs has been both good and bad. You know, when you listen to what Theo Epstein has said, he gets it. He has talked about the fact that, that Russell is going to have to do work.
How does she know who gets it and who
doesn't get it? That this is not going to be... somebody told her that he's going to be welcomed back with open arms right away. But then you have Joe Maddon, who has been really pretty cavalier about this. And, you know, so who is the one who's got the ultimate say? Is it going to be Maddon, the manager, who's dealing with Russell on a day-to-day basis? Or is it going to be somebody like Theo Epstein, who's holding him accountable? And that's the tricky thing about all of this, I think. And that's the thing that we're really going to have to watch.
It's interesting as well, of course.
How about if we watch if he beats his wife again? Wouldn't that be the thing to watch?
Yeah. Turning to the Cubs lineup. The situation with what happened Tuesday night at Wrigley Field while Doug Glanville is doing
this
that
is not
report
a situation.
In the background.
No one in the stadium knew.
Someone making a gesture that is now associated with white power. We don't know. We can't say. The Cubs have said they don't know for a fact, although they...
Okay. This, when this first came out, when I first became aware of it was when the guy was making the sign 69. He was doing okay up and okay down.
Yeah.
And they were saying... That kid's a white supremacist who's like a white, very unthreatening-looking teenager. Not that that means anything. But he said, no, it's my dad's 69th birthday. And the date of the picture was, I think, the day before his father's birthday. And it seemed to check out. He was making a 69 in the picture, and they were all putting their arms around their dad. And when that happened, I said, and I remember talking about this in the podcast, I said, who voted on that as the white supremacist sign? I don't even remember that being a white supremacist sign. Why do I not know this? I mean, if this is so awful that this guy can't take a picture, and actually he was making a 69, in my opinion, without this horrible condemnation, why don't I know about it?
It was always either okay, or you'd flip it upside down, put it by your wiener, and if your buddy looks at it, you get to punch him. That's what it always was.
I knew that. But I never heard that it was a white supremacist signal. But anyway, go on and we'll find out a little more about it. It's pretty fascinating.
Line up the situation with what happened Tuesday night at Wrigley Field while Doug Glanville is doing that report in the background. Someone making a gesture that is now associated with white power. We don't know. We can't say. The Cubs have said they don't know for a fact, although they have concluded to their satisfaction this was a racist gesture, so they are banning the fan for life.
With no investigation, by the way.
When did this become widely recognized? For life. We saw it during the Kavanaugh hearings, Supreme Court nomination hearings. When did this become a widely recognized gesture symbolizing white power?
I don't think it is, Jeremy. I would imagine most people right now watching had no idea. We are probably breaking news to the vast majority of your audience that that symbol is associated with white power. I think in descending order of familiarity, most people see that symbol. Forefinger, index finger, and thumb put together as, first of all, a, I don't know, centuries-old symbol of okay.
Oh, really?
You can see presidents from Bill Clinton to Barack Obama flashing the okay symbol. Then, perhaps, our next... familiarity with it is seeing basketball players flash it when they hit a three-pointer. And then third, and maybe not everybody realizes this, but it's been around for a decade, Jeremy, and it hasn't been mentioned yet, it's the circle game. Kids play this from junior high to high school and on into immature years in their 20s.
Yeah, I heard you mention that on your radio show yesterday. Yeah,
no one's 30 plays this game?
It's a game of making you look. If you catch somebody making that symbol, they look at it, you get to punch them in the arm. And then fourth, Jeremy, it is a symbol for white power. It started out as a hoax, by the way, to kind of fool the media, but has become something white supremacists have adopted. But if we're playing the odds, and I don't know,
the media
maybe this
said
patron
was
racist, I don't know, Jeremy, because I don't know the man and he hasn't spoken. But if we're playing the odds are he was doing something else than flashing a symbol of white power. But the Cubs have shown no interest in finding out what the real story is.
Here's Theo Epstein's statement, by the way. This is what Theo Epstein
to this.
Had to say at the time, yesterday, that is, the incident last night is truly disgusting. It gave me shivers to watch that it would take place at Wrigley Field. Now, Nancy, of course, the situation for the
shivers.
Cubs is complicated, if you want to put it that way, by the fact that the patriarch of the family that owns the team, now know, wrote emails that contained a lot of racist Islamophobic
rhetoric. Jeremy Shepard does.
But they're kind of... If you're the Cubs, aren't they kind of in a bind now because of this whole stupid thing was pointed out on
Twitter? No, you say, you know what? that's not a real symbol. It was a hoax that the media bought into, and we're going to look into his social media, and we're going to find out what this guy's all about, unless he's a member of the KKK.
I agree with that aspect of doing the investigation, which people
love. Didn't. No, they didn't. They just said, it gave me shivers.
No, I know that, but I'm...
So does he get shivers when an NBA player makes the sign?
Does he do
get
it up,
shivers?
They do it upside down in the NBA?
I don't know. That's what he said.
But like Shep.
I wasn't really that familiar with it, to be honest.
But like Shep said, it is now associated, and Will Cain did say they have adopted it regardless of where it started.
He was, by the way. They were shooting his hand at his crotch. Now, if your hand's at your crotch and you do the okay sign, that's a little bit awkward.
You can see his chest, though.
But his hand is down there. He does the peace sign sideways. I don't know. Has anybody looked the guy up? I'm not saying he's not a white supremacist. I don't even know.
No, but Will Cain is right. Not. Odds are that he isn't. I'm just...
So why don't they investigate and find out? They've declared him a white supremacist. He put shivers into Theo Epstein.
Well, that is utterly
that this event could
ridiculous.
Happen at Wrigley Field.
I think it's utterly ridiculous. I agree with Will Cain. The odds are he's not... But I think it's interesting what Shep points out because of those emails that have leaked out. There is that image
but
for the cup.
But that has nothing to do. That guy is not that guy.
Except that
he's the guy sitting in the seat behind the shot. He's not the owner of the Cubs.
That's not what I'm saying. What do the Cubs do then?
The Cubs, they say, we'll look into it. It seems pretty innocuous to me.
And then you get a lot more noise. Like, well, of course, the racist Cubs owners.
Okay, so you kicked the guy out of Wrigley Field for life without knowing anything about him.
Like I was saying before, they should just say he's suspended. Nobody knows who he is. Just on the
Well, slider. They didn't do that.
Dude, you're totally
They're not doing that.
No, I know, but I forgot.
It's stupid.
I forgot about the whole email thing with the Cubs owners.
This is up there with flubbing Martin Luther King's name and having your career end. Because you flubbed
Joe
his name.
Said in emails that... became public, he said, Muslims are naturally my enemy due to their deep antagonism and bias against non-Muslims. The organization condemned him, but also said at the same time that he is a great man. So how do we reconcile all that, Nancy?
And say, this guy's a great man.
Well, first of all, let's go back to what Will said about not knowing what this guy did. We're not talking about a 13-year-old. We're talking about an adult. The symbol was not the up, the okay like this, like we're used to seeing. It was what we've come to, or what some people use as the white power symbol. Wrigley has a very complicated and really,
she
frankly,
know that
ugly
this adult,
history of racism.
How does she know this
Jr.,
guy?
One of their relievers just said earlier this year that he's gotten racist hate mail. I don't think the Cubs
had a choice.
So
Wrigley Field is
a
racist building.
And frankly, they should. If there's any suspicion of racism, everybody should be addressing it immediately. This is unacceptable, and it has no place in baseball or anywhere else, frankly. So I think that they did the right thing, whether it was had anything to do with the Ricketts or not.
Okay, so I guess she would like she wants those anchors fired too. She probably thinks that anchor should have been fired and the weather person should have been fired. That's ridiculous.
I think if it was any other team but the I think it's because of the Cubs thing they had to act the way they did.
The fan has nothing to do with the owner of the Cubs. She's saying that racism reigns in Wrigley Field.
The fan's not making the decision. The Cubs are the ones making the decision.
Well, on that basis, then they should probably kick a lot of other people out of Wrigley Field.
So just
this guy got caught.
That's like saying, that this guy jaywalked and what's his name? The owner had a drunk driving ticket, so they should punish this guy for jaywalk. I mean, what the fuck? It has nothing to do with what he did. We don't even know what he meant. We don't even know if he's a white supremacist.
He's not. 2 years ago, 4chan decided to do a prank on the media, and they said, all right, everybody, we're going to send this out. We're gonna tell everybody that this sign is white supremacy. We're going to get this thing rolling. And sure enough, within the matter of weeks, the media picked up on it, and they called it a white supremacist symbol. So just 2 years ago, 4chan changed all of this.
Well,
yeah, but then,
good job, media.
But then, like they said, they've adopted it.
Well, yeah, because
who cares where it started?
Eventually, they were like,
"I saw."
I mean, the country of India started the swastika.
Well, you know what?
I saw it in the Daily Mail. That was that last year when the guy did that thing?
It's stupid.
Yeah, I didn't know what it meant. I did not know. I should know more than a guy sitting in Wrigley Field.
Are you walking around doing it?
No, I didn't walk around doing it. But I didn't
even
know.
You don't know why? You don't know why? Would
know what it was?
If someone doesn't know what it is, why would they do that?
Wait a minute.
How do you know what he was doing?
He was doing.
I'm just saying, if he's doing
circle game,
sure, maybe he was.
Of course he was.
Look, I don't think he should be suspended indefinitely. I understand.
Suspended? We don't even know what he was doing.
Oh, we saw what he was doing. I mean, everybody's going to read into it.
He could be doing, made you look at my crotch. It's in front of his crotch. Isn't it? Go back. I want to see it again.
There's a still picture.
It is.
I think it's more his fat stomach.
He's crouching down, Mark.
It's very close to his crotch. I mean, I don't. I think he should be. I think
so
they should look into him.
You're going to give it to the white supremacists. It's theirs now.
Sure, they can have it.
All right.
I wasn't dying to have it.
I think this is absolute madness to not even find out who he is and look him up and find out if indeed he is to just say, fuck you, you're out of the stadium forever. You're a white supremacist. That's bullshit. That's absolute madness.
You're right.
I'm sure people have done a lot worse in that stadium, by the way.
Yeah, like Bartman.
Yeah, Bartman. Maybe they'll give this guy a World Series ring when they win a World Series and they find out he's not a white supremacist.
I don't even
know who he is. I don't know anything about him. He may be the grand wizard of the Ku Klux Klan, but shouldn't they find out?
100% yes. I wonder if he gave the finger if they would do the same thing.
He'd be in trouble for giving the finger, probably.
Well, they just pixelate it and shut up.
But, you know, it's kind of weird,
too. How many
people
would know about it if it weren't...
Twitter pointed
or
it out.
Or them spending, how many, 15 minutes?
Twitter
did they
pointed
chew
it
up?
Out.
Yeah, Twitter pointed
talking
out.
About it?
No,
yeah,
he also,
they have to fill time.
By the way, right before that, he gave the peace sign. How many white supremacists give the peace sign and then the white supremacist sign? And again, I didn't even know what it was. I didn't. A year ago. How many people, I wonder if we just ask random people, how many people go, if you said, what does this mean? I wonder how many people would even fucking know.
None. That many.
I mean, I don't think the guy, if he went like this, he wouldn't even be on camera. If he had the okay sign, like people do that okay sign, he seems to know where the camera shot is. It's on Doug Glanville. So he does the peace sign sideways, kind of on his stomach area, and then he does that sign. So to just assume that, he's clearly white supremacist, this puts shivers through me, and he is banned forever, is crazy. It's just crazy.
God, the drama over nothing.
I know.
Dumbest thing ever.
At least look him up.
Tell the guy who's on the headphones to move away from him, pixelate it, and just stop.
Well, it was
stop
live,
already,
so
right?
They didn't really have any choice. But it's kind of weird, too, that a white supremacist has a seat in the front row behind the dugout. That would also be unusual. And going by what
they
Charlie...
love baseball.
Charlie hung out with some white supremacists, and he said... Most of them are on public assistance,
right?
And they're absolutely the dumbest pile of—just a dumb box of rocks. I doubt they have front row seats at Wrigley Field, but I could be wrong. You never know.
I think he thought he was being funny. I don't think he's a white supremacist. I don't think he should be kicked out.
I don't. How do we know he even knows? How many does everyone know this is a white supremacist sign? Does everyone really know?
You see that, and you think he's just doing the OK sign, but he couldn't fit it in, so he's doing it upside down.
His left, he's doing it with his left hand. He did it like this. You couldn't see it. He does the peace sign down there. He goes like this.
Okay. Circle
I think
game.
He thinks he's being cute.
Okay.
I mean, if you want him kicked out of Wrigley Field, anybody's entitled to that opinion. I think
I don't want him kicked
out
of Wrigley Field.
Minimum, they should look into him and see if he's a white supremacist. And if he's not, they should say, don't make goofy signs. That's a white supremacist sign. You know, and the guy's sitting in the front row. He probably spends a lot of money on Cubs games. He's probably a big fan.
It's probably his company's tickets.
Well,
nobody's got seats that good anymore.
That could be. I mean, they could very well be his seats. We don't know. We don't know anything because they said, we didn't even investigate. Fuck him. He's a white supremacist. He put shivers in me.
Wait, how
shivers
do they?
Shivers. Was Theo Epstein, did he really get shivers?
No, of course
shivers?
He didn't.
Come on.
But where? How do they know who he is and suspend him indefinitely if they don't, if they didn't do anything on him? So they don't know who he is, but they suspended him indefinitely? That doesn't make
any
sense.
Well, they said they didn't study him. They didn't bother looking at his social media or anything like that. Now, I can't believe someone else hasn't.
No one knows who he is.
Well, if he knows who he is, I would think he would be, that's the problem. If he comes out and says, hey, I'm the guy. I didn't mean anything by that. This is bullshit. Then, of course, all the people who are so politically correct go, oh, you're racist! And he'll be identified. He'll lose his job. And who knows what else. So, because I was thinking, why doesn't he just speak up? But if he speaks up, then he gets the fucking wrath of the PC world on him. And then it gets twice as bad. So the Cubs have really fucked this guy. What's that? What was it? What was the picture you just went by, Brandon?
Oh, no, it's just the circle game.
It's
common. This game is common. It's so fucking common.
Well, I wouldn't even know he was doing that. Honestly, if I had watched that scene, I would have gone, there's some guy fucking around in the background. That's what I would have thought.
Anybody who's been online for the last 10 years, it's common. It pops up all over the place, and there's people who are getting in trouble for it now, just now, because they decided to make a hoax out of it, and the stupid media picked up on it.
If I wasn't doing this...
And we gave it away. Now it's white supremacists.
I would have never found out about the 69 guy. That would have never crossed my mind in a million years, and this would be complete news to me. I would not know.
There's even an emoji of it. There's a white supremacist emoji.
Well, congratulations to 4chan for getting the media to believe this and getting this guy kicked out of Wrigley Field for life!
There's an upside-down emoji of an okay sign?
All right, sorry, Mark. It's not upside down.
Oh.
So it has to be upside down now?
Well, that's what I thought the stuff you were saying before the show with the hoax thing was that it was the upside-down one.
Well, that's what the circle game is. Whatever. I don't even want to talk about it, Steve.
I know. I get annoyed as shit talking about it. I'm just stunned that anything this stupid is going on. The anchor in St. Louis and the guy in Rochester.
I forgot that the shooter in New Zealand did it. Remember in his court, arraignment?
Yeah.
But I mean, he could just be playing the circle.
The guy that killed
50
people?
Yeah.
Well, then everybody should do it, and that way it would normalize
that
it so much.
Exactly
it won't mean
true.
Anything.
Take it back like the N-word.
That's
maybe that guy
answer.
Was exactly. taking it
and
back.
And then bury it like the N-word.
He was taking the
no
upside down OK
anymore.
Sign back. That's what he should say.
I'm reclaiming the OK sign upside down.
Good for the Cubs. They are great.
The funny
people.
Part about it is that white supremacy didn't even have the sort of ingenuity to make it up themselves. 4chan turned it into something that they're like, what?
That's pretty cool.
Oh, cool. Okay, cool.
Did the owner get suspended or did he get punished
no,
for? Okay, those are real words. Those are his words.
Thank you. I know. It's way worse. But you don't think that weighed into their decision at all?
It shouldn't. It shouldn't.
Okay.
It should have nothing to do with it.
But we know it does. It's all an image game.
If it does, it's wrong. It's crazy. Then suspend, then kick. The owner should be kicked out of Wrigley Field forever, too.
Yeah, right. No.
What's the difference?
Drew, they're apples and oranges. But, you know, when they're making a decision, all that stupid shit comes into
Well, that moron, Nancy Armour, says, oh, there's a relief pitcher was called the N-word, and there's a lot of racism floating around Wrigley Field.
She's wrong, so great.
Well, she and her side wins. She carries the day, and she, you know, this. If this guy, I mean, I'm
did she? Because I thought Will Cain kind of won that argument.
Oh, I thought he did. I don't think there's any question. If they didn't even look into it and they suspended him for life, then they're assholes. They're complete assholes. And if I was a fan who bought tickets, I'd be livid. What does it take to get kicked out for life?
So what's frozen on the screen up there?
Oh, this is the guy that broke his silence. The guy that aimed the laser in Tom Brady's face.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and of course, all of us expected this to be an 8-year-old. but if you multiply 8 by 8, that's the age of the man who was pointing a laser in Tom Brady's face.
I lasered Tom Brady.
There was a lot of anger when a guy tried to throw Brady off his game by shining a laser at him.
Just like the day before, Robert Kraft was getting his butt fingered.
Now, this Inside Edition exclusive, the culprit is coming
those two things up.
To tell our Stephen Fabian why he did it.
What an outrage.
Actually, it was the day of, wasn't it?
Shocking video showing a laser beam targeting superstar quarterback Tom Brady during a big championship game.
How dare
he? The laser was captured by a local news cameraman on the sidelines in Kansas City last January. Brady was hit at least 3 times during the fourth quarter.
Here it is, the laser pointer that we all saw shined on Tom Brady. There it is. There's the green light.
64-year-old Dwayne Morgan is now coming forward, admitting he's responsible. He's a huge fan of the team Brady was up against that day for the AFC Championship, the Kansas City Chiefs. Morgan
is
had seats in the
end life?
Zone that day
yeah, he actually
with his
is.
Three sons.
Andy was charged with a crime.
Many, he did something outrageous. He wanted to distract Brady with the laser. It made big headlines.
Shocking video from inside
the show you're on
shows a green laser light pointed at the New England quarterback during key moments of the game.
Morgan showed me just how he did it across our newsroom.
We've got an image of Tom.
Looks a little like Mickey Redman.
Direct hit. You nailed it.
But he should have known there's no stopping Tom Brady. Despite that laser, the Patriots went on to win the game and eventually the Super Bowl. Morgan's 23-year-old son, Colton, was in the stands with him.
Were you trying to injure Tom Brady?
You're 64 and your son is with you and you're pointing a laser.
Him. 1 week after the incident, police tracked him down and came knocking on his door. He was charged with a misdemeanor that reads,
disturbing the peace by shining a laser pointer in the direction of Tom Brady during a football
That's a
game.
Law?
Yeah,
did you ever think
the Tom Brady law?
I didn't think it would go this far. I shouldn't have done it.
What do Bostonians think of the guy who pointed a laser at their hometown hero?
I think he's a clown.
What do you got to say to this guy?
Get a life.
Morgan faces up to 1 year in jail or a fine of up to $1,000. He regrets the embarrassment it brought to Chiefs fans.
And why is he reenacting it? Look at him.
They put up that image of Brady. He had to, Trudy.
Apologizing to Brady or the Pats.
No.
He's not a police.
His phone number? Is that asshole listed?
I could not find him. Even with his address, I cannot find
him. What about his kid?
Did they name the kid?
He's proud.
Did, yeah.
Son.
Kid's got the laser gene. He should be kicked out, too.
The laser gene.
Fucking dope.
Wait, why did he take it to the game?
Because he wanted to distract Tom Brady.
How did he apparently get it through security?
He looks pretty obsessed with it, doesn't he? I mean, he couldn't turn it off through that whole story. Oh, he's putting it on Tom Brady, who's frozen on the screen.
I love that they put that picture up.
I love this laser.
What if they would have injured Tom Brady? That would have been a national tragedy.
Catastrophe, yeah. That's why there's a law.
Did anyone see Seth Meyers with Meghan McCain?
No.
No.
Did anybody hear about it?
I don't watch
you
Seth Meyers.
It.
His tempo is weird.
Yeah, his tempo is kind
of he makes
strange.
Me edgy.
I always liked him on SNL.
Oh, I did too.
Really good.
Yeah, but
And I've watched his late night show, and honestly, I just didn't. I wasn't crazy about it. I don't like or dislike it. Mm-hmm. I don't have any strong feelings about it. Like Kimmel is the late night guy for me. I mean, I can turn that on, and it's always. You know, other than when he was just so into the whole, anytime he gets real heavy into the medical care and politics, I just go, In fact, I hate even mentioning on the show because every time I say I like Jimmy Kimmel, we go, oh my God, I hate Jimmy Kimmel.
What? Jimmy Kimmel?
Because he's part
of
the, he's part of the left now. He is. He just is. I mean, whether it's universal health care or he hates Trump or whatever, or, who's the guy who played basketball against Ted Cruz? He was really an asshole to
him,
Ted Cruz. Not that Ted Cruz is my favorite person either. But his show is great. And, you know, unlike Colbert, who I used to adore Colbert, I think he's so quick on his feet, and he's just gone, like, I don't know if it's soft or what it is.
It's not funny.
No, it's the environment that you're in. It's the company you're working for, the people who are calling the shots.
He's
and your
still
producers
funny,
and stuff like that. Yeah, no, it's.
I guess he's doing well. Who is winning late night? Does anyone know?
I have no idea.
I'll look it up.
But
check it out.
Comedy
Colbert was winning last I knew.
Comedy
so
Central is, I think, the best environment for. It's very.
Oh
well
yeah,
made.
When
yeah,
he was
Comedy
on,
Central is
yeah.
so much better.
Does
Tosh
anyone watch
is still great
incorrect?
On there.
Netflix. Yeah. What's Trevor Noah?
The Daily Show.
The Daily Show.
Does anyone watch that anymore?
No, it's terrible.
I skim it sometimes.
It's terrible.
It's kind of corny.
I saw Busy Phillips was canceled.
She had a show?
I was so upset. Yeah, she had
Congratulations. I just found out she had a show. Way to go.
She had a late night show for a very short time, and people are livid that she was canceled because is she the
I had
only,
no idea.
Is she the only female late night host?
No, there's
no,
the other.
Samantha Bee.
Yeah, Samantha Bee.
Has a show.
Okay. Well... Apparently, there's
list.
A lot of females that work on the show, and so this rubs out all these female late night people.
It'll be more funny.
Very many, and it's like, what? Her ratings were bad. And honestly, I watched a couple clips, and I was like, I can't. I'm surprised this was even a show. But she's she's begging other people to pick her up because their show's so important, and all her fans think. And all her fans, by the way, why didn't they watch the damn show? I mean, really. It's not.
Sounds like they're too busy writing it.
I hate it when they turned it into a. This is a female being put down. It's like no, it's very democratic. If people watch your show, it will stay on. Chelsea Handler was on for a long time.
Oh, quite a while. Yeah.
Did she just stop doing the show or?
I think she did just quit.
She was on for a long time though. Wasn't
she redefined herself a bunch of different times.
Chelsea lately.
Yeah.
How is Samantha Bee doing?
No idea.
I don't think she's knocking him dead, but she's always funny. So no, I always thought she was really good on The Daily Show.
Found the week of April 29th to May 3rd. I guess they were all live that week. What demo do you want?
I don't know.
You want that week, or do you want season to date? Because it's
I don't care
different.
Any week. I just did. Is anybody a clear 1, 2, 3?
Yeah, it looks like it's still Fallon. Well. For that week, it was Fallon, Colbert, Kimmel. But season to date, 1849, it goes Colbert, Fallon, Kimmel, and Kimmel's a distant third.
How close are Fallon and Colbert?
Very, very, very close.
Kimmel's a distant third still.
Yeah. What for the season to date, and then the next time slot, it's Seth. And then Nightline, and then Corden.
Oh
boy, Corden, you're losing
Corden
that lead
beats, in. Corden beats Seth.
No, Myers? No, Myers, Nightline, Corden.
Oh, Myers, okay, Corden's third?
Yeah.
After Nightline.
Corden gets by far the most attention, doesn't he?
Yeah, because yes. He does those cool little karaoke's.
Goofy things.
And not only that, he's...
No, that I don't know one person who likes it.
Wait, Corden, is he after Fallon? Or
no,
after
Corden's
Colbert?
Corden's after Colbert.
Okay.
On CBS.
So he loses his ass.
Oh
basically.
Yeah, big time. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
What about Conan? There's
I don't
the other
know
show.
What he's doing.
I consistently like Conan.
Conan yeah, does...
His ratings don't really matter in terms because he's not network.
He's on TBS, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's got a 0.15 adults.
Conan does?
Yeah.
Well, the reason I asked was because
which is about half of what Kimmel does.
I read about. It was about Seth Meyers and Meghan McCain had a dust-up, and I'm like...
You want to hear it?
Who is it? I did hear it. I don't know if I want to hear the whole thing. Well, you could play it.
It's 40 seconds.
Oh, it's more than 40 seconds. Okay. It's about
this is
4 minutes long, I would say.
Yeah, the whole thing is like 12 minutes. For some
well,
reason.
But some of it is just them kissing each other's asses, and then he... Well,
an
yeah,
Israeli policy without getting framed as anti-Semitic language?
Yeah, I just think you can't talk about Jews hypnotizing the world, talking about all about the
you
Benjamins.
You keep bringing up the two tweets that she's apologized for, and I think that's a little unfair to her, especially because we've established...
Are you a publicist?
What?
Are you her press person?
No, I'm just someone who cares about the fact that there's someone out there who is in a minority who has had death threats against her, and I think that
death
we should
threats.
All use the same language that you're asking her to be careful about her language, and I would ask everybody else to be careful
but
about
she theirs. Quoted her.
Okay. All right. I mean, yeah. I'm not sure what would make you happy coming out of my mouth right now. I'm genuinely curious.
Okay. And then it just kind of rolls.
Okay.
On.
This was, first of all, I thought he was incredibly condescending. He brought it up. I don't know. I thought it was weird that you have a guest on and she's talking about, she was an intern at Saturday Night Live, and I immediately thought, of course, oh, her dad got her an internship.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was like, you know, Seth said, do you remember me? Oh, yeah, I remember you. You were really nice. I had to clean up some table, and you helped me, and it was like this real sweet exchange. And then he brings up that she was talking about Representative Omar's tweets on, I forgot where it was. But,
The View, probably.
No, it was on George Stephanopoulos. And he said she had already apologized for those tweets. So it was like he had a thing with her. He booked her. I'm not sure why she's doing interviews, but she's got some, I don't know, she has a book or something. and so she says, well, I don't really have any objection. I don't really have any second thoughts about it because she said it. And I think Stephanopoulos was talking about it and he says, yeah, but she's getting death threats. And it was like, well, she'd already said she had no regrets. And so he seems to be trying to excoriate her, which I thought was really strange to have a guest on. And it just seemed very condescending to me. And I don't really know how the public viewed it, other than, of course, the crowd loved Seth's statement. She's a minority and she's getting death threats. So therefore, and she apologized.
Her husband
and by the way,
wasn't too happy.
Yeah. He brought, her husband, I know, her husband apologized.
Today, yeah.
He brought up the tweets that he excoriated her for repeating after she apologized. So then he said, you know, well, why would you ruin? And she said, she said, well, when you say the Jews are, and then he says, but you just did it again. I mean, it's like, Jesus Christ. I don't know. It just seemed awfully preachy to me. And after it was all over, I thought, why does Meghan McCain do this? Why would I would just get the fuck off TV? Because on The View, she gets wailed on all the time.
Somebody always gets wailed on The View, though. There's...
I know, but who wants to be the chick on the right on The View?
Nobody.
I think you're nuts.
Well, you make your name.
I guess.
Does Elizabeth Hasselbeck still have a job somewhere?
Was, you know, I, it's
she,
funny.
She was last
I,
on Fox,
I
right?
I looked her up Well, actually, no, she came up because the old video of Barbara Walters wagging her finger at her. did you guys see that?
No.
Oh, my God. It was brutal. She was in a...
There's a big book out about The View, like all the inside stuff. Which could be very funny, very catty.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of clucking. yeah, Barbara Walters kind of told her to keep your composure. And she said it on the show, and she just walked off like, you know, how dare she? That's it. I'm done.
How's
and
Barbara doing
somebody
today?
Talked her into going back. I have no idea.
Isn't that really wild that nobody knows anything about Barbara Walters right now because she's just dying?
Yeah, that's...
I think she's got...
probably how she...
Peter, there have been
but
some...
But I'm surprised we don't know any.
Quiet for a second.
That always makes me laugh. It's kind of like, gay fucking shit. I swear, every time I hear that, I don't know why that's so funny to me.
Which one?
Fucking shit.
That one?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, his first three words on television. Career over in three words. How will anyone ever top that? It's impossible. And the story, too, the fact that the guy was trying to pronounce a name that was gay something, like Gayevsky.
Yeah.
Gay fucking shit.
Yeah, and you think he's going like, this is the most gay fucking shit. But actually he's going, gay fucking shit. Because he has to do the story soon, and so he's freaking out because they're about to go on TV. But it sounds like he's totally calling something gay, that gay fucking shit. Play it again.
How does he know?
Gay fucking shit.
You're watching NBC North Dakota News, your news leader in high definition.
Gay fucking shit.
Good evening, I'm Van Q. You may have seen our new AJ on NBC
He's
North
still
Dakota
doing
news,
it.
And he'll be joining the Week in News team as my co-anchor. Tell us
I gotta
tell
hear the
about
intro
yourself,
again.
AJ.
I love hearing that. The big
you're watching
voice
NBC
guy.
North Dakota News, your news leader in high definition.
Gay fucking shit.
It's like he's cued for it, too. All right, AJ, you're going to start this off by saying gay fucking shit.
I mean, the big announcer voice, he doesn't even get to take a breath before he's like, gay fucking shit.
If he wanted to sabotage his own career and swear on live television, he couldn't have done it any better than what he did.
But don't they
it almost
have-
sounds like it's on purpose.
Don't they have the person? I mean, remember, I don't know if you, when you went to school at Virginia Tech, if they have like broadcasting, you know, TV classes and you have,
oh, yeah.
You get to be the, like, the stage manager.
Sure.
Where you do that.
All that
Virginia Tech.
Stuff.
Three.
Tremendous
two.
School.
It was so cool to do. Three, two. You know?
I know.
And where was all
except
that?
Except you're directing people who are clueless.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun, too.
How does he not know it's coming up?
Because he's focused on gay
minutes,
fucking shit.
5 minutes, people, you know, like...
So I got to figure out this gay fucking shit stuff.
Supposedly, that he wasn't told they were live. That's what he said. But it was really funny when he was on the Today Show or whatever show he was on after that. And he was on a few shows, I think. He said, they actually said something like, well, this seemed to be a slur at homosexuals. And he's like, no, I was trying to pronounce this name. But, I mean, it was like, they couldn't decide what was worse. The fact he said gay fucking shit on TV or the fact that he seemed to be saying something about gay people.
Oh, my God.
It was incredible. It was like, oh, my God. This
he would have survived if he just said gay. If he didn't add the fucking shit, he probably would have survived.
I don't know. The way he
North
says
Dakota,
gay,
no one would know.
He's clearly upset. Is that him?
Yeah, this is with Kelly and Michael, I think.
This clip of you has captivated all of us.
Yes.
It's taken us on a wild
captivated.
Ride. What exactly was going on in your head?
A bunch of gay fucking shit.
When that happened, were you
gay
aware that you were on?
It's clear what was going through his head.
No.
He just swore.
Russell,
no, they played it.
Precautionary bleep.
Wait, are we live?
Yeah, we're live.
Yeah, we're live.
Oh, they bleeped him.
I know that's your favorite form of TV.
I had no idea. I had no idea that we were live. My co-anchor didn't know that we were live. She happened to be looking at the teleprompter. Mm. I happened
she
to
has
be
name.
Looking down. I'm going over the London Marathon winner's name. Which,
was that tripping you up? Was it hard
that
name?
Was tripping me. I'm still not going to pronounce it.
Right.
I know how to spell it. That's
right,
about
right,
it.
Of course.
You know, I got frustrated. And you guys know the rest.
But when did you realize you were caught on camera cursing?
Not until the third break when my news director came in. I thought that, you know,
it
we weren't
like the
on
girl
air. We came
knew,
on 30 seconds
she
early.
Was fumbling all over
and
the place.
I caught the toss. Obviously, I said West Virginia. And then I used to be from the East Coast.
which to me, but I've got to tell you, as an East Coaster, it was so plausible to me because I was like,
no, it
of
wasn't.
Course he's from the East Coast. That's why he was explaining the language.
I'm a native New Yorker, so.
You know the great, you're a native New Yorker. And one thing about New Yorkers, we believe in giving second chances, man. Yesterday we called for it. You came here today.
Oh, didn't
so
get one.
We have a challenge for you if
didn't
you're
work,
willing
Michael.
To accept it. We're going to send you to cover the star-studded red carpet premiere of Pierce Brosnan's new movie, Love Is All You Need.
Now, should
she doesn't
want to
go like gay fucking shit.
I know.
All
right, enough
all
of these dopes. Oh my God, this show is so mindless.
Wow.
Gay fucking shit.
Yeah.
The person's name, I can't even say it. It's Tsikige Kabede.
Already?
What?
You want to hit the outro, Brandon?
That was the winner of the London Marathon.
It's just such a... I mean, the way he answered, she said, tell us about yourself. After he's just said, gay fucking shit on TV. And everybody's going, what? And he so fumbles it, I was sure he didn't. He knew he'd done it because he's like, I went to University of West Virginia and from the East Coast.
I'm here with your men's winner of the 2012 Chicago Bank of America Marathon, Tsikige Kabede. How you feeling right now?
Tsikige Kabede. That was the name. Tsikige. Fucking shit, Kabede.
Gay fucking shit in there.
You go, his nickname's fucking shit.
So that means that he fumbled the question about telling her about himself without knowing he had just said gay fucking shit on TV. I mean, isn't that amazing? That is the worst answer.
He still would have recovered from that.
Just probably a good thing. Just imagine what his second broadcast would be.
Yeah. He never had one. He never got another job.
Yeah.
Okay, like us on Facebook. Rate us on Facebook and rate us on iTunes if you get a chance. We have a donate bar too, which I only mentioned due to recent setbacks. Nothing we won't survive, but
boy.
And let's see what else. Twitter at Drew Mike Podcast.
Oh, the store.
Oh, the Drew Mike store. That's right.
The sale.
Everything must go.
The sale has been tremendous so far.
Spring clearance sale at the Drew and Mike store. Are people really buying stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. If you mentioned it yesterday, yeah. A couple sales.
Yeah, boy. Yeah. Please buy all the crap so we can get new crap. And you can buy that too. But yeah, there's stuff on there, the Drew Mike store. And the best stuff is tomorrow. So we'll see you.
It's t-shirt time.